జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీల ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధానంద సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభువు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథపురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనందే. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమాము శుభదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధి కర్మగ్రాహగ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధరవార్ణవాద్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యో వయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమే మహి స్వీకృతోసి మయానాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫల సర్వదా త్వయ విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం నవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యదా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తదా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్తున్నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిగరదశ్చార్థేష్ విజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష దామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్రవరమో నర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కిం వా వరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యేత్ర శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుభముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం హురహోరసియా భువి భావుగాః. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందమనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ. పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదో తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమది తితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారీణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరై కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకుణిదాదృదానందోః. మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం నక్కణిగాభి కాభిగాభి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ బహుదలి శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్నిధి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశదారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజశ్రీనాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత శంఖచక్రం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాంబురదో మమ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ദേഹോ ഗുരുർമമ വിരക്തി വിവേകഹേതുർ ബിഭ്രസ്മസത്വനിധനം സദദാത്യുതർക്കം തത്വാഞ്ജനേന വിമൃശാമി യഥാ തഥാവി പാരക്യമിത്യവസിതോ വിചരാം അസംഗാഹ. ദത്താത്രേയ മഹർഷി ഈസ് സെയിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി ലേൺഡ് ദിസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് ലെസൺ ഫ്രം ദിസ് ബോഡി. ബോഡി ഈസ് മൈ ഗുരു, ഹി സെയ്സ്. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ലെസൺ ആർ ദാറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് body taught me what is vairagyam and body taught me what is vivekam. Vairagya means detachment and vivekam means a capacity to discriminate properly, proper discriminative power. These two things body has taught me, he says. And first thing is that this body cannot give you happiness. This understanding has to come. All it can offer you is permanent unhappy suffering, permanent suffering. And because the process of birth and death itself is a good indication of that, that birth is a suffering, because 10 months inside the womb of a mother's womb, it's a very struggle inside, as Kapila Maharshi says in the To Devahuti, that the life, it's not very pleasant inside the womb of the mother. And similarly, when death happens, the fear of death goes on for many years before the body goes away. And that suffering from that, constant anxiety and fear, what's going to happen? So in this way, it gives continuous distress. And therefore, I have learned to develop detachment from the body, because it's become the cause of vairagyam in me. Then, it is with this, at the same time, it is with the help of this body, I am developing tattvajnanam inside me. Because I don't have a body, I can't do that. So body is helpful in certain ways, but overall if you look at the body, it is a cause of suffering. Overall, if you look at it. So therefore, tattvajnanam comes from, because I have the body, only then I can study shastram, hear shastram, and able to develop this power of discrimination inside. Vivekam can happen. But at the same time, this body is going to be food for the dogs or cats at the later date when it finished. The purpose is over, right? Therefore, I know that this body cannot stay permanently. I need to be detached to the body. And in that way, without any attachment to the body, I am living in this world, he said. So, the use of this, how we use this body, that matters a lot. The important thing is to know that because we have this body, we feel connection with the world and through the sense objects in this world. And what we see here is that all the sense objects, they don't stay permanently. After some time, they disappear. And when they disappear, you feel unhappy about it. They're leaving us one after the other, right? So everything you can look through the body. If you see through the body, all the people whom you associate with in this world is through the body. Similarly, all the sense objects also is through the body, but none of them are permanent. Neither the people whom you are associating with nor the objects are permanent. They come and they go. So, when you use this body, only for bhoga buddhi, for sense gratification, or bhoga sukham, for that purposes, right? The life will be a total misery. Life will be a total misery, right? So, not only that, this body does something else, which is worse than this. It sows the seed for another body. Isn't it? This body sows the seed for another body. That is the problem with this body. Body makes, when you use it for sense gratification, it makes this life itself suffering comes later due to sense gratification. People who have over engaged in sense enjoyment, you can see at their old age how much they suffer from that. So that way it is suffering, and apart from that, it has sown already the seed for another body because of all the vasanas what you have created now. So in this way, if you have understood the body properly, the Tatramashi is saying, if you have good intelligence, you will naturally develop a certain detachment from the body. Yeah. So, added to that, this body was created, so therefore it will get destroyed also. It won't stay permanently. So, and the day we were born, it's already decided the day we have to leave also. Isn't it? Once you are born, the death is certain, and that date is already decided. Little by little, the rope is, noose is being tightened at the neck, right? So, deha viyogam, that means separation from the body can happen. It can happen any time in life. So, but nobody knows when it will happen. That's how we live in this world. We don't even know when we have to leave the body. This is how we live in this world. So, and not to, apart from that, even while living in this world with this body, we are conscious that all happiness what we get through this body has got an aspect of distress at the end. Distress will come in some form, right? So, with the body, when you are engaged in deha sukham, in satisfying the senses, the vasanas builds up inside, bhoga vasana it's called. That propensity to enjoy keeps growing inside. And it sows the seed for experiences what you are going to have in your future lives. The seed is already sown, and that the seed will sprout when you come into the next body. Even though it is like that, it is like that. That's what he's saying. Tattu anyanena vimrshami yatha tathabhi, he's saying. The Tatra is saying that, yeah? That if you can use it for, if you can use this body for doing sadhana, spiritual sadhana, atmiya sadhana, if you use it, you can realize the truth, and you can get liberated also. This is our precarious situation with this body. So, on the one hand, body is a cause of distress, on the one hand. On the other hand, if you use it properly, it can take you into freedom from the cycle of birth and death, and be happy in the eternal life. So, everything depends on how you use this body right now. How you are using this body, that's what decides what whether you're success or failure, right? If you use it for bhoga sukham, for sense gratification, end result is distress. If you use it for doing sadhana, for doing performing spiritual activities or sadhana for that purpose, you get self-realization, and at the end, you become eternally happy. You have become free from the cycle of birth and death. And then you situated in the spiritual platform, right? He is saying here, the Tatramashi is saying here, even though things are like that, this is parakyam, he says. You see the word? Parakyamitya avasido vijaramya asangaha. What does parakyam mean? Parakyam means this body is not in our control. That's the problem. You see, body is not in our control. There is a lots of things. We only spiritually very advanced people understand things with much clarity. Much clarity, right? In other words, it is not in our control. That's the first thing we have to know about this body. Body is not in our control. We have this Maya makes us think that body is in our control. Actually, body is not in our control. It's acting independently in its own way, controlled by the vasanas and by its prarabdham. That is how it's been created. When Krishna talks about that, he says that Kshetram is not in yours. Kshetram belongs to Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna controls the body, not the jiva. Jiva has no control. Jiva is just carried along with it, wherever it goes. Yeah. So, jividam, or the life, therefore the life is not also in our control. And similarly, the sense gratification, what you get through the body, all these things are not in our control. Not in our control. It is difficult in the beginning to understand all these things, because we are used to this sense gratification through the body, and we think that everything we are controlling. What Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, parakyam it is. Parakyam it avasido vijaram asangaha. Sometimes when Mahatmas talk certain things, we won't capture the spirit behind it. Why they are saying so? We won't understand that. Give you an example. Mahatma Gandhi, he leave aside his political side of life. That is not important, because politics goes on like this forever. On the spiritual side of Mahatma Gandhi's life, it is a lot of interesting things to learn. How he handled his life. Yeah. So in 1939, he met Paramacharya, Chandrasekhara Saraswati. This meeting happened in a village called Kavasheri near Palakkad. This meeting happened. They had breakfast together, Paramacharya and Mahatma Gandhi, right? So that time, 1939, you imagine that time, the independence movement was building up strong, and Gandhiji was the leader of the whole situation there then. So Gandhiji already got the message that somebody is going to kill him. He got the message. That because there were so many people who were against him. You know how politics is always very risky life, isn't it? Everywhere in the world, if you enter into politics, you can expect any moment you're gone. So Gandhiji was also conscious of that. So when Gandhiji met Paramacharya, they had a discussion. A few things they discussed, but it was kept very confidential. It was not revealed to anybody. They met. You see, unlike today, press was not there so much like today. There was one or two newspapers. They will report whatever news they got later on. Nowadays, you see how they all come with this mic in face of you, in the mouth, friend. About 20 of them, and keep asking you questions and questions and all. So that just didn't exist then. So this meeting happened in a house, and the householder, He has received Paramacharya as a guest there. Paramacharya used to walk everywhere. He used to walk. So he was on his route walking, and he got this person in the village, has hosted him, asked him to stay there, and he was looking after Paramacharya, and Gandhiji also happened to come there that day, and they had this meeting, and they had the breakfast together. Both of them together, they had the breakfast, yeah. So what was discussed was not revealed to anybody between their discussions. The householder was present there in the meeting. So for some time nobody knew what happened between them. And then later on, this householder said that what actually happened in the discussions. It is from him they came to know later what actually they discussed. Because when two great personalities meet like that, they won't discuss silly things, would they? They will talk some serious matters. So Gandhiji said to Paramacharya that it is more or less sure that I am going to be killed, he said. This Gandhiji got killed in 1948 when he was shot by Nathuram Godse, shot him, right? So when this incident happened, he told Paramacharya that, I have one desire that Abraham Lincoln got shot. Abraham Lincoln in America got shot. Similar way, it is likely that I am also going to be shot, he said. But at least one thing, if I could remember the holy name at the time of dying, that will be a great success for me. That's all I need, he said. He was not too bothered about the politics side of it, because nothing is permanent in this world. Everything is continuously changing. And even if you work very hard and try to fix something, it's not going to stay. It will go. So when spiritually advanced people, when they don't see the life like the way we see, we are very concerned about the world. They are very detached to the world. They will do what they have to do, but they are detached also from the world. So he said to Paramacharya, if that happens, what should I do? He said to him. Gandhi obviously had a lot of respect for Paramacharya, and they had a discussion in these lines, right? So Paramacharya told him that you don't have to worry about it. You have reached a stage now that you will die. At the time of death, you will remember your favorite deity, Ramachandra. You will remember that, he said. Don't worry about that, he said to him. And that's how the meeting ended in the end. Years later, in 1948, on the 30th of January, he was shot. Gandhiji was shot, yeah? When Gandhiji was shot, you can see how he chanted Ramchandra's name and left this world. So, Mahatmas know each other better, that what will happen in the future to him, and he was able to forecast that Gandhiji won't forget the holy name at the time of death. And this did happen. So, so any moment, they are always conscious, Mahatmas are always conscious that any moment death can come. That is one thing with them. They are all very alert and conscious of that. Mahatmas, I'm saying, right? And they also know that birth and death is not in their control. And the only thing is, Mahatma Gandhi's good thing side was that he lived a life free from sense gratification and lived simplest form of life, knowing very well that that it is not under his control. Right? So that is what the Dattatreya Maharshi is also saying, Parakim. Parakim means you have no control over your birth, or you have no control over your death either. So here he is saying that I learned this from the body, he said. And if I use it for sadhana purposes, then self-realization can happen from that. And that way I got some benefit from this body. You see, what Maya has given us is this body. How to use it? It's in our hands, whichever we use to use. If you use it for self-sadhana, you can get the benefit of realizing the truth and escaping from the cycle of birth and death. If you use it for sense gratification, then all it offers is a lot of distress in life, and at the end, it will sow the seed for next life. Already, that means you will get another body again. So, that is what he is saying. In this, even though it is like that, the Tatra is saying here, Parekyam itamasido vijaram asangaha. Right? Another thing is that when will the body go? That also you don't know. Right? All the sense gratification will go one day because they are not permanent anyway. And that's not in our control. And for some reason or the other, body can leave us any moment. Right, and the only benefit you can get out of this body is self-realization, tatvajnanam, and also self-realization. That is possible with this body, and that way you become free from the cycle of birth and death. Right, so deham, body can go any moment. Therefore, he is saying here, parakimit avasido vijanam asanga. Body should be used for self-realization. This lesson I have learned, he's saying. Oh, Dattatreya Maharshi. Saying, I learned this lesson from this body. So, the distress that comes from the body is spoken in the next two verses. How the body gives distress, right? First one. Jayaatma japta pashubhritya griha aptavargan pushna niyarpriya chigir shaya vidanvan swande sakracham avaruddhadana swadeha srishtvasya bijam avasidadi vriksha dharmaha. How much distress a body can bring to us in life, yeah? The reason why we work in this world is because of keeping this body going, to satisfy this body, isn't it? Bodily needs, we say. And whatever happiness you can get through the body, deha sukha, boga sukha. Boga sukha means wife, family life, wife, children, sense objects, and then in them days, people maintain a lot of animals like cows, and then servants, home, and relations. All these things we try to keep them all happy together, so that we feel happy with all together in that way. But when that body leaves us, all these things what you have created in life here, family, home, relations, all the things is gone along the body. It goes away, right? And but even though body goes away, even though body goes away, the distress is not finished. Body is gone, the distress is not finished, because this body leaves us, sowing the seed for several lifetimes afterwards. That is the problem. It's a very strange relationship what we have with this body. So when our lifespan is over and when this body goes away, already it has put a hook on us in the form of vasanas, which will help us, which will create problem for us in our next life. So therefore, but the Tatra Maharshi is saying, Jai Alma. Alma japta pashu vrittya griham apta organ pushnani yat priyachigirshaya vidanvan swande sakracham avirudha dhanasa deham. That this simply focused on bodily happiness only. That is how most of the people live in this world, is it not? Just to be happy with the body. Some to protect the body, they go and work hard, earn a lot of money, and use all the wealth for maintaining this body. That's their life, normal life, yeah? So, if keeping that only as a goal, and acquiring all these things, family, wife, children, husband, and all sense objects, and all other tools for a comfortable life, servants, home, relations, and that body which you have used for that purpose, he falls into this situation. It's only a bhramam inside. I'm going to be happy one day. And in that bhramam, we are doing all these things. That illusion in us, right? But when the body leaves, all the things what you have accumulated, gone with that. Gone with that, yeah. So, and deham, or this body, is that over with the death of the body? It is not. A person who has lived only for that purpose in this world, to maintain the body and to look after the body, his life will be miserable, because unfortunately, he has already sown the seed for many, many lifetimes. Because the amount of vasanas you have created inside is such that they are capable of creating many lifetime, many different types of bodies. That is the drawback, right? So that is the problem, that when you use the body only for bodily happiness, the bhoga sukham, and this body in return gives to us these vasanas, which will give you many more material bodies after leaving this body. This is the way the body responds to, you see, you are giving everything for the body, and in return, body gives it back to you a loads of vasanas, which will keep you life after life with the different bodies. That is our deal with the body. This is what we get from the body. You are doing so much to protect this body, maintain this body, thinking that the body is going to give me happiness. Body says, you have looked after me whole life. In return, you can have all these vasanas you carry with you, which will give you many more bodies after this death. After the death. This is the strange relationship, right? So therefore, the Tatraya Maharshi is saying here that when our lifespan is over, nothing will stay. All connection is broken in one stroke, is it not? Wife, children, home, friends, family, everything gone in one stroke, right? So, simply for the sake of bodily happiness, if you live in this world, for such a person, his suffering will be very high when he leaves, because he has given all his life for the body, created a big empire in this world, and suddenly everything is taken out. Body gone, everything gone, along with that. So, is the distress finished with that? No, it's not over yet, right? If this body gives you a lot of vasanas, it means it has sown the seed for several lives after this. And it is, after sowing that seed, only the body has gone. So therefore, what is our Tatraya Maharshi is saying here, don't live a life simply for the sake of the body. Simply for the sake of the body. And because the business deal is not a very good deal with the body, it is giving you this problem that it is sowing the seed for many more different bodies, and you have to leave the body in that way. And for what happened? This life itself is misery. Many more lifetimes that will come will also be misery, followed by this, right? So that is what he is saying there. And then the next verse, which is repeated in Bhagavatam and before also. Jihvaigadom uva apakarshadi karhitarshal shishnonyadasya gudaram shravanam kudaschil ghranonyadas chapaladrik kvaja karma shaktir bhakva asapatnimiva gehabadim lunandi. So, jihvaigadom uva apakarshadi karhitarshal, a man has got many wives, and this jiva who has got identifying with the body, dehabhimanam, he has got the same problem, right? All these wives, they will like to have the husband with her, spend the time with her. So he is drawn by all the different wives, and he does not know what to do. Everyone wants his company, and he is not able to help the situation. It is the same situation with us in the body. We have five senses. These five senses are considered to be like five different wives. And each one of the senses are asking us, come my way and enjoy life. Each one of them. So, the tongue draws the sense, pulls the jiva to enjoy the senses through the tongue. So through nice food and sense enjoyment in that way. So, similarly, you have hunger and thirst. When there is hunger, when there is thirst, wants water and food. And the Tathagata is saying here, shishnonyadasya gudaram shravanam kudaschil. if you have a desire for or if you are feeling thirsty, I learned that I'll just drink water and be satisfied with that. Shishnonyadasa, similarly, genitals is dragging me towards sense gratification, and the tvaka, the sense of touch, sparsham, then the stomach for the food, ears wants to hear nice things, the nose wants to smell, the eyes wants to see nice things. In this way, all the senses of knowledge and all the senses of action drags the jiva to different types of karma. That's what the senses do. They drag the jiva to different types of karma, right? Not giving any peace of mind inside. In this way, jiva means identification with the body. That is called jiva. Jivatu means, andarya means reflection in the subtle body, which means that you are identifying with the body. Jiva means identification with the body. So every moment it is dragging jiva towards different sense objects and destroys the peaceful nature of the mind. Mind loses its peaceful nature. And therefore, no, at any time, the jiva doesn't feel peaceful inside. Always in a disturbed state because of senses, different senses. Yeah. And that's what he is saying there. Deham, he said, Deham, body is guru. He said, I learned this from the body. And this body also is very difficult to get because there are so many other millions of species of life. So, we have gone through different types of bodies, and finally we were given this human body. He is saying here, in this body there is only one thing you can do, and the right thing to do is to engage in Krishna service, whichever way it is possible, to engage in Krishna service. That is what the next verse is. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktiya Brukshan Sarin Sarvapashun Kagadam Shamalsyan Taisair Adushta Krudaya Purusham Nithaya Brahma Valokadishanam Udamapa Devaha. Very famous verse. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalpa Shaktiya Brukshan Sarin Sarvapashun Brukshan Sarin Sarvapashun Kagadam Shamalsyan Taisair Adushta Krudaya Purusham Nithaya Brahma Valokadishanam Udamapa Devaha. This body is been created, and it is a difficult thing to get. Human body, it's a difficult thing to get, right? Krishna created, Ishvara has created with the help of Maya various types of bodies in this world, in the form of trees, plants, and animals, birds, all kinds of things, right? And then we have got very small plants, small insects, flies and things like that. They don't live very long. Few moments, I believe, they live only that long. Some of them live for months, some of them live for 1 or 2 years, and then they die and go. So, similarly, there is aquatics underneath the sea. In this way, a variety of bodies have been created. Yeah. Varieties of bodies have been created. That's what he's saying. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajay Atma Shaktya Vrushan Sarin Srupa Pashun Kagadamsha Matsyan. But doing after all that, Ishvara was not satisfied. Ishvara was not satisfied. But when this human body was created, he felt some happiness from that, from the human body. Why? Because in this human body, Brahma realized that it is a possibility that he can inquire about the truth, means self-realization. That opportunity is there in the human body. It is capable of doing that. Other bodies are not. Yeah. So, And therefore, because this facility of self-realization is available in the human body, it shouldn't be used for any other purpose, sense gratification or for anything else. Right? Puranams will talk about 8.4 million different species of life. The modern scientists are also saying that around the same number, 8.8 I think they say, different species of life. They have, it's probably the way they have looked at it, different. Right? And out of these 8.8 million or something, right, many of them cannot be properly counted because it's difficult. The types of, living entities are everywhere, in the air, in the ground, in the water, everywhere. To take a proper count of all these things, proper count of all these things, and to say specifically that this is the number of type of living entities in this world, is very difficult to say that. So therefore, there is difference of opinion. Puranam says 8.4 million, the scientists are saying 8.8 million, like that, and many of them are in this 8.8 million or 8.4 million, to get this human body is a big thing. It's a very special body, this human body is, right? And when will we get this body, it is very difficult to say. There is a lot of calculations behind it. So therefore, Rishabhadev said this, when you get the human body, he said, when you get the human body, nāyam deho deha bājān riloge, kashtān kāmān arkhade vidbhujāmye tapodivyam, putragād yena sattam shudhyayad, tasmād brahmasokhyam thanandam. That is his first instructions to Rishabhadesham, begins with that verse, is it not? He called all his children together, and in all the people who were in his kingdom, he invited everybody to come. He said, I've got something very important to say to you. And Rishabhadev's first verse itself is this, Nayam deho deha bhajan raloge, kashtan kaman arkade vidbhujamye tabodivyam, putragal yena satum shuddhye tasmad brahmasokhyam tanandam. So, he said that this human life is very rare thing and it should not be wasted or squandered for limited bodily happiness. For that purpose, you shouldn't use this body, right? And as far as sense gratification is concerned, it's available in all types of bodies. It's not only in human body you can get sense enjoyment. And he quoted that also, vidbhujamye, even the hogs, they also have sense enjoyment, even though they live in most abominable conditions, in the sewer, they live there. They also have a family life, they also just got, the male pig has got a female pig and loads of children, and they're all happy together in their family life, like we are happy in our family life, they're also happy in their family life, right? So, he's saying here that Shuddhyadasman Brahmasokhyam Thanandam. If you perform sadhana, Brahmanandam, only human species can have. Others won't get it. Right? And therefore, that is the purpose of human life, says Rishabhadev. Says that, right? For that one has to do sadhana. One has to do sadhana. And he mentioned there that one should depend on the Antaryami inside and with the devotion take his shelter. So if you are able to realize Antaryami, Paramatma, as your Ishta Devada form, Rama or Krishna, or Shiva, or Devi, whatever form it is, right? If you are able to realize that form as your form, that is how in Sagunam goes, right? You realize first you have a form with which you are attached to. After developed a relationship with that form, whatever form that is, you realize that is your Antaryami inside. And that Sagunam process goes like that. And then that form disappears. And then you realize that Antaryami is you. not different from that. And if that happens, then you can experience, once you realize that, then Brahmanandam is possible. Proper happiness is possible. So normally there are three types of anandam, happiness in life. Yeah? Vishayanandam, Bhajanandam, Brahmanandam. This is only three sources of ananda, what we can have. Vishayananda means what we get through the senses, sense gratification, right? And that is available for everybody. Hogs, dogs, camels, asses, and every type of animals, birds, human beings, all have this thing, Vishayananda. You get everybody, right? So, and so that means that to get sense enjoyment, you don't have to get a human body really. You can really get it in other bodies also. Animals, birds, the sense gratification. It's available, right? And even the pork or the hogs in the sewer, they also have that. Krishnadev is saying this, right? So for deha sukham, sense gratification through the body, you don't have to go and you don't need a human body really, right? And similarly, happiness that you get in Krishna consciousness by engaging in bhakti, spiritual activities, right? That is called bhajanananda, from bhajana, chanting the holy name. Similarly, from Srimad Bhagavatam, Salsangam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, all the different processes. All the happiness what you get from that, it's called Bhajanandam. And unfortunately, all of us are not getting that Bhajanandam, isn't it? We are not getting Anandam from that. The reason for that is the vasanas inside, which we have created in several lifetimes. Because inside us, there is the stock of billions of lifetimes, what we have come in different bodies. All that vasanas are in the subtle body. And as long as that vasanas are there, you won't be able to have this bhajanananda. So, but in order that bhajanandam to happen, it is a block, the vasanas inside. That is the reason we are struggling in spiritual life. Spiritual life has become a struggle for us because of the vasanas inside. Yeah. So that vishayasakti, vishayavasana, if you want to remove that from the mind inside, there is no shortcut except to do upasana or sadhana. There is no other way of getting rid of the vasana from inside. There is no other way of doing that. Yeah. And that means we ourselves have to take the initiative, forcefully develop that stability inside, steadiness inside, follow the rules and perform the upasana, whatever we are used to, whatever we have liked it, shravanam, kirtanam, whatever it may be, right? And at that time, thoughts will come inside the mind, naturally, thoughts will come. Either thoughts will come and disturb the mind, or we will fall asleep. These two things. Yeah? Which is called vikshepam and layam. So, but the only option is that upasana should have to continue, even though it is like that. If you succeed in removing a lot of this vasana from inside, and if when the mind gets somewhat purified, some purification happens in the mind, you will start experiencing a little bit of this anandam, bhajanandam, from upasana. You will start getting that. In the beginning it is a struggle, because there is so much vasanas inside. And if you have started getting that little bit of bhajanandam, happiness from the bhajana, then you have escaped. Because you got the taste. If you have not got the taste, then it is a long struggle. That means there is so much vasanas inside which requires cleaning up. So, and then afterwards, after you have continued the sadhana, and when you start seeing this Ishtadevata form inside, present, once you see that, then you start experiencing Brahmanandam. So Bhajanandam becomes Brahmanandam at that point. Bhajanandam comes when the vasanas goes away. Not all, majority of the vasanas, very bad vasanas there was there, that's all gone. But still some vasanas left. At that time you will experience some Bhajanandam. And if you continue, if you persist after that, over a period of time, what will happen is that from that upasana itself, you will start seeing that the form that you were, sagunam we are talking about, the saguna form, whatever you are relating with, its presence you start experiencing inside as Antaryami. And then once that happens, what we call as the Brahmanandam comes. So you can see we have Vishayanandam, Bhajanandam, Brahmanandam. This Bhajanandam and Brahmanandam we don't know at the moment. Brahmanandam, of course, we don't know. Even Bhajanandam, we haven't tasted it yet. It is still a battle because of the vasanas inside. Yeah. So, but these two things, which one, Bhajanandam and Brahmanandam, is only available for the human species, not for anyone else. Only for the human species. And our Vishwadev is saying, you should try for that. Bharata was there, Bharata Yogeshwara, and all the other children, and a lot of population as well, and he spoke to them like this. He is saying to them, before he left home, he walked away from there after that. Yeah. So he is saying that, don't waste your human life in sense gratification for the body. So, and that is what he is saying here also. Brahmava loka dishanam udamava deva. Taisai adushta hridaya purusham vidhaya. Brahmava loka dishanam udamava deva. So all other bodies he has created. Ishvara has created. Ishvara was not happy. But when he created this human body, he got satisfied. Ishvara felt that this body is capable of Brahmava loka dishanam. And he has got the capacity for doing sadhana and able to experience the bliss inside. And at that time, he was satisfied, he says. And then he is saying that if so, what is the Tatramashi saying to us? Human life should not be wasted. Human life is meant for self-realization, and till you get there, upasana has to continue. Sadhana must continue till we get to the goal. Yeah. And so he said that, and then he again confirms that in another verse, once again. Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraha turnam yade napade danamurtyaval nishreyasaya vishayakhilu sarvatasyal labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraha turnam pade yade napade danamurtyaval nishreyasaya vishayakhilu sarvatasyal. Very nice words. He's saying here that many, many lifetimes we have gone through different bodies, and finally this human body has come to us, right? And even this human body what we have got is not permanent. Any moment it can drop, right? But there is one good thing with this body, he's saying. If you do sadhana with this body, you can realize the truth. Self-realization is possible. Therefore, intelligent person, without wasting any time, should absorb in sadhana very seriously and try for self-realization. Anumrityu. Because anumrityu means any moment death can happen. He should, that's how they say like that. They say that when you are doing sadhana, you should be always conscious that death can happen any moment. With that thoughts you should do the sadhana, that any moment death can happen. As far as self-realization is concerned, you should always think it is very far away. It's going to take a long time. These two things for a person who is doing sadhana is important. While doing sadhana, you should always think that death can happen any moment and you could be gone. On the other hand, the self-realization is concerned, you should be always ready to wait as long as it's required. Tremendous patience is required. So two different ways one has to be ready for that. One hand, for sadhana is concerned, you have to be always alert to think that death can come any moment and the sadhana will stop with that. That awareness inside. On the other hand, as far as self-realization is concerned, it may take any amount of time, which we don't know, many lifetimes. With that state of mind, one should do the sadhana. That's the advice. So every moment passing away, the death is getting closer, our lifespan is limited. It's already decided how long we have to live in this world, in this body, right? And we are getting closer to the death, so that awareness should always be there, and you should engage in sadhana. So he's saying here, one should not be negligent about it, careless about it, right? Body is concerned, you must always think that the body is getting closer to death. That awareness is important. And he's saying, therefore, but at the same time, the determination to engage in sadhana for self-realization, one should endeavor very hard. Because as far as sense gratification is concerned, it's possible in every type of body. But self-realization is concerned, it's only possible in the human body. That's the difference. Sense gratification is concerned, it's possible in all types of bodies, but self-realization is concerned, it's only possible in the human body. That means Vajranandam and Brahmanandam. Vajranandam is also called a Sevanandam, Anandam coming from Seva. So Sevanandam and Brahmanandam, only in the human body it is possible. Right? So he is saying here that one should not waste his time. In this way, 24 spiritual masters finishes there. And then the Dattatreya Maharshi told Yadu that because I learned all these things from these different teachers, I am happy on my own, and even though I am not doing anything, I don't do anything, but I am happy inside. This was his explanation to Yadu. Yadu asked the question, how come you are so happy? You have nothing, but you are happy. I have everything, but I am not happy. This was Yadu's problem. So when Yadu asked that question, the Dattatreya Maharshi gave these 24 spiritual masters, and he told him that I have learned all these things from these 24 gurus, and therefore I don't do anything anymore, but I am happy inside. That means this Tattvajnanam is working for Dattatreya. Tattvajnanam is working for Dattatreya. This is how it is. If Tattvajnanam is working in a person, you can immediately notice that in that person, if it is working for him. It is not intellectual, it is realization level. Right? Look at his words. Evam sanjada vairagyam vijnana logama atmani, verse 30 in the 9th chapter. Evam sanjada vairagyam vijnana logama atmani vijarami mahi medam mukta sango anaham kradi. So, totally he spoke about 25 spiritual masters. 24 plus the body, 25. And with all their help, he's saying here, I developed a strong detachment, vairagyam, from this world. And bhakti, jnana vairagyam. And through that, self-realization. And through that self-realization, and I am absorbed in the soul all the time. I have no connection with this body, he's saying here. And I live in this world in that knowledge, knowledge of the self. I live in this world in that way. And I travel in this world with this knowledge in me. In this me, yeah. So, that means he has realized the self and is situated in the platform of the self in the liberated state, waiting for the body to drop. And that is how I am living in this world now. He's saying like that, right? And I know I can only see myself as Antaryami inside, Paramatma Swarupam. And I also see this whole creation itself is nothing but Paramatma Swarupam, Sachidananda Brahmam, right? And it's in me as well as in the world. I see his presence, Antaryami's presence in everything. And this all happened with the help of all these different spiritual masters. And I through them I realize this truth. And I am traveling like that. I have no identification with this body anymore. The Dattatreya Maharshi says that, right? Because I know who I am now. I know this body has nothing to do with me, right? So now the question comes, why so many gurus? Yeah, why so many gurus? So, in Upanishads, they have a different way of saying this. There is many instances where disciples meet guru. And what they are saying is that you don't need so many gurus. If you have one good realized soul as a guru, that is sufficient. But that person should be a realized one. It's not that you pick anyone and everyone from the world and say, Guru, that is won't going to work, he's saying here. Yeah? So, so in Upanishads, you don't see this. This is here Dattatreya Maharshi's case. Upanishads, one disciple has only one guru. He takes everything from him, right? For example, you have Shvetaketu, and he accepted his father Aruni as a guru, and totally took his shelter. Similarly, Bhrigu took his father as a guru, Varuna, and saw him as his guru and took his shelter. They got the self-realization through them. It was possible for them to get it. Bhrigu got it, and Shvetaketu also got it. Shvetaketu comes in the Chandokyam, Bhrigu comes in the Taittiriya Upanishads, different Upanishads, right? So, so these 24 plus 1, they are not actually gurus in the strict sense, like in the Upanishads sense. They are not the gurus, right? Guru is only one. And Guru Tattvam is important. Guru Padishtam Tattvam, right? So that Tattvam, in order to make us clear to us, Tattvam is one, right? Guru Tattvam, it is called. In order to get that point across to us, it has spoken in this way, with 24 spiritual masters plus the body in that way, and learning from them. But Guru Tattvam is one. That means spiritual knowledge getting transmitted from a higher plane to a lower plane through different medias. That is a Guru Tattvam, is it not? You can see in Upanishads, they don't have it like the way it is spoken here. Upanishads is a different way of doing things, right? So, so here what they have done to make us aware that Guru Tattvam works in a particular way. It can come through one person. It is enough if you have one proper realized guru as guru. One guru as someone as realized person as guru. That's enough. You don't need anybody else. But the Guru Tattvam can work through others also, like in the case of the Dattatreya Maharshi, right? And why did he do this? He's saying here that initially the Dattatreya also had one guru. But after he got the instructions from that first guru, his original guru, from whom he took spiritual instructions, whatever he learned from him, In order to get it strengthened inside, he took the help of all this. That is how it happened. Do you understand? See, he didn't think that all these 24 are the same as other gurus are. No, he also had one guru. From that one guru, he got the spiritual knowledge, everything. And then he is traveling all over. While wandering around, he realized, how do I strengthen my realization? What I learned from the other guru. So, for that purpose, he took the help of all these 24 entities, plus the body. So what he is saying is, Guru Tattvam is one. That Guru Tattvam operates like this sometimes. That's why they tell you to go around all places, and you may find so many interesting things in this world, teaching you different things, provided you have that spiritual maturity inside, to look at it that way. So, that is what he is saying here. Because, when you hear from the Guru first, the knowledge what he has given you, to get that fully absorbed and fully realized inside, there is a lot of trouble. You hear, with intelligence you accept it, but it has not become your own still. It is still, you have doubts and you have difficulty to accept so many things. And there are, that means the spiritual knowledge, very nature of spiritual knowledge is like that. Because of our material conditioning, it will not sink in straight away and become ours. We are not able to connect with that. Yeah? It stays in the head, but it doesn't become the realization. So in that, and the problem for that is the other problem. Asambhavana and Vibhrita Bhavana, what we discussed before. Asambhavana means you still have doubts about Shastram. You still have doubts about the whether this is all will happen or not. Asambhavana. Kind of doubts about the Shastram, kind of doubts about the reality of all these things, right? Then Vibhrita Bhavana, you are thinking in a wrong way, opposite way. You have not got it in the right way. In a different way you have understood, right? So even though you got the knowledge from the Guru, intellectually, right, it is still possible that these things may not happen. This is all just in imagination. Sometimes you may think like that. Is this all real? Is it all going to happen? Because what happens is, when you live in this world, you meet all kinds of people. They are not doing this. They are busy with working hard, earning money, making life comfortable. So when you start thinking yourself, am I doing a foolish thing? Am I wasting my time? That way your mind will work. Sometimes the thoughts can come like that, right? And so this asambhavana is something, make these doubts keeps coming, and that comes from Maya. Maya does that. Maya makes you think like that. That this may not happen. All these years I wasted saying that I am a devotee. I got up at 4 o'clock. I could have slept very well whole morning. I lost all my sleep. I have given up so many other comforts in life. And doubts will keep coming and disturbing. And you will also see yourself that every day is not same, isn't it? One day you feel good. Another day you feel down very much. That's how spiritual life is. Yeah. So that is coming from Maya, and Maya creates all these kinds of thoughts inside us, and it will block your self-realization. It won't allow you to easily realize the truth, right? And that is called asambhavana. This is called asambhavana. You are not getting convinced that this knowledge in the Shastram is true. You are having doubts about the Shastram itself. And becoming problem, right? So, so even if you have got, you got an association with a very first class guru, self-realized soul, asambhavana can still happen. Asambhavana can still happen. Even if you have really got the instructions from a highly realized soul, right? So, another problem what can happen is that, the knowledge of what he has given you, you may have got it in the wrong way, everything. You may have got it in the wrong way. For example, they say, Tattvamasi is a Mahavakyam, isn't it? You heard Tattvamasi, Guru is saying, you are that truth, you are not different from him. And you have understood that you are not that tattvam. This also can happen. Tattvamasi says that you are that truth, but you are saying within yourself, I am not that truth, in that way, right? And that is called Vibhrita Bhavana. Vibhrita Bhavana. So, our Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, you will see this coming. That Nimi had this problem. You see, Nimi had the problem. And that is why when the discussion started, this question comes up there. So, that is why they use this problem called, process called Anvayam Vedirekam. Anvayam Vedirekam, right? So, through Anvayam and Vedirekam, Bhagavatam uses that process, Anvayam Vedirekam, that how to get this knowledge firmly established or grounded inside. Therefore, these kind of spiritual masters, 24, they can be of help for that, to get this knowledge firmly grounded inside, right? And in Bhagavatam you will see this, that this Anvaya Vedregam logic is used, and it is mentioned in the first verse, it says, Janmadhyase yato anvayam, yato anvayad idharadam, idharadas, charthesh abhijnasvarat. First line itself, it says, Janmadhyase yato anvayad idharadas, charthesh abhijnasvarat. So Anvaya Vedregam is the process that is used in the Bhagavatam throughout. And it is mentioned in the first line of the first verse in the first canto, first chapter. Main principle is this. Bhagavatam's analysis, karyam karanam, cause and effect, right? Something exists which is karanam, which is a cause, from that the effect has come, karyam. And in karyam, karanam is present. That is the philosophy, principle, right? And when karyam gets destroyed, it becomes karanam again. This is called Anvaya Vedregam logic, Anvaya Vedregam. So, what it means is that in everything in this creation, Paramatma is present. In everything in this creation, he is present as Sachidananda Paramatma. And and that is, accepting that is Anvaya. To accept that Sachidananda Paramatma is present in the whole creation is Anvaya, right? So that means, whenever see anything, when you see that object is existing, that feeling you get inside from that object, right? Why does that happen? Because if you think that is the vastu real, when you think about the vastu, it's not real. Think about it, it is not real. But inside your feeling is, it is real. Where does that come from? See, anything, for example, if you take this bottle of water, or this table, or anything, this will not stay like this forever, will it? After some time, it will disappear. Form will change, and material will change. It will become probably earth or whatever material elements it's made from. Plastic will become earth and it will get go. It go. So ultimately this is going to go, right? So that means this doesn't have reality in strictly speaking. It is not permanent. It's only a temporary experience that this table exists. But on the other hand, if you look at it this way, that right at this moment, for me, it is real. It existing. So where do I get that feeling? Why do I get that feeling when I look at something that it is real? That's come due to the presence of Sachidananda Paramatma's presence in the table. That's what it is. That is some important thing. This to understand this, right? So similarly, anything when you experience in this world, like for example, human relationships. If you take, we know very well, after 5 or 10 years, we will all be gone in from this world in different ways, right? We have no connection after that. We will never know each other. We will not meet up unless we meet in spiritual world together. Otherwise, we won't be meeting. And even then, if you meet there, you won't recognize each other. That's another problem. So, the point is this, that even though it is like that, Still we have relationships with each other, is it not? Is that not amazing when we know very well that we will all be gone in our own way, in different directions? Right now we are feeling we are all real. You are real, I am real, you feel the same thing, I feel the same thing within me. Where is this coming from? That is what he is saying here. That Paramatma is present. It is that Paramatma's presence creates this feeling in us that we are all real in that way, right? So, but this is not real, we know. Why? Because it is going to get destroyed. All objects will go, all persons will go from this world. And but its reality, what you are getting from all these things now, is coming from the presence of Paramatma in there, right? They give this example that, you know, the famous example, the pot and the clay, or the earth, which is made of that, right? If you ask a question, is the pot real? Strictly speaking, pot is not real. But right now it is real for us, because the pot is there. Why it's not real? Because it's going to break one day, and it changes its form, pot is over. There's no more pot after that, right? So, this pot doesn't have a existence, permanent existence. It doesn't have. Only because the earth is there that you feel the pot is there. Because the earth is there, right? But it doesn't have permanent existence, right? Its existence depends on the earth. Yeah. Yesterday it was clay. Today it is a pot, tomorrow it will be clay again. This is the situation, is it not? Yesterday it was clay, now it is pot, tomorrow it will be clay again. So therefore, pot is changing its form all the time. It doesn't have existence of its own. So astitvam, it is called astitvam. Astitvam means its own existence, it doesn't have. Its existence depends on the clay. Depends on the clay. So, so the pot's reality, what we are feeling as real in the pot, is coming from the clay actually. And ultimately, if you keep looking at it further, deeper, deep down there, finally everything has come from Brahman. So Brahman is alone real. Nothing else is real, right? So, and that is how creation is spoken in the Upanishads also. That first they say that when space was created, space came. In space, what happened was, and Paramatma Chaitanyam entered into the space. And from there, and that is how space became real. When Paramatma Chaitanyam entered into space, space became real. Right? Then, if you take space and Paramatma Chaitanyam, space is not real, Paramatma Chaitanyam is real. Because of Paramatma Chaitanyam presence in the space, we find space is real. Because of Paramatma Chaitanyam presence in the space, right? And so, space existence is dependent on Paramatma. Paramatma is not dependent on anything. It always exists. Paramatma always exists. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, whichever way address that, right? So, and because this Paramatma has entered into space, we feel that space is real. Space is real. And in the same way, whole creation, you see, from space came air. Is it not? You know, the five tanmatras and five elements. Panchabhutam and Panchatanmatra. Connected each other. Like that. We have talked about it many times. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. The five tanmatras. Earth, water, air, ether, fire, the five elements. They are all connected each other. One to another it comes. Like that, right? So, because of the Paramatma's presence in the space, we feel it's real. In the same way, when these things come together, which one, five material elements, five tanmatras together, and eventually we have got this whole creation. So at every stage, Paramatma is present in everything. At every stage. Turns into air, Paramatma is present. Turns into water, fire, Paramatma is present. Turns into water, Paramatma is present. Turns to earth, Paramatma is present. And then all the living entities has come there, Paramatma is present. So there is nowhere in creation without Paramatma. That is the conclusion. There is nowhere in the creation without Paramatma. At every without Paramatma's presence, these things cannot happen. Maya cannot do anything on its own. Maya requires the support of Paramatma inside. That is the lesson to learn. That's what he's talking about here. Right? So, so ultimately, everything is coming from that Sachidananda Brahma, Sachidananda Paramatma, and this is called Anvayam. Anvayam, right? And then, what is Vedregam? Vedregam means, when disappearance happens, when devastation comes, when this whole thing disappears, at that time, whole creation disappears, ultimately what remains is only Paramatma. From Paramatma, everything came like this, that's Anvayam. And when destruction happens, everything disappears, that's called Vedregam. Ultimately, only Paramatma exists. So from Anvayam you learn that Paramatma is present in everything, and from Vedregam you learn only Paramatma exists. This is Anvaya Vedregam. This thought, this principle is followed throughout Bhagavadam. Throughout Bhagavadam, this Anvayam Vedrega Abhyam Etsyal Sarvatra Sarvada says in the Bhagavadam. That if you understand this Anvayam Vedregam principle, and if you get used to that, then you will see a lot of things what is spoken in the Bhagavadam will make sense. Without knowing Anvaya Vedregam, you can't study Bhagavadam. Anvaya Vedrega Yukti is important for that reason. That means karyam, karanam. Karyam depends on karanam. Karyam here referring to the creation. Karanam, Paramatma. Karanam is Paramatma, right? So, originally only Paramatma existed. Paramatma Andaryami or Paramatma in different ways we call him. Sutralma, similarly Nyapti, Bodham, Awareness, then Andaryami. These are all different words used to represent the same one power, Andaryami, Nyapti, Sutratma, all different ways we address him, right? So, Paramatma was present in the beginning, and that Paramatma didn't come from anything. It has nothing is responsible for Paramatma. Paramatma always exists in, like that. And therefore, because it is like that, it has its own existence, astitva. It exists all the time, never changes, right? And it remains like that, and no changes happens to him. It stays in that way, right? It can exist. It doesn't require the help of anything else to exist. Whereas creation requires the help. Paramatma's help is required. But Paramatma doesn't require any help. And that is the Vedrega Yukti. So, this Anvaya Vedregam Yukti you have to use. And here he is saying here that in order to get this clarity in me, Dattatreya is saying that this is how it is, I wanted this Anvaya Vedregam logic fully absorbed within me. For that purpose, I took the help of all these 24 spiritual masters and the body as well to get this Anvaya Vedregam well inside, right? Very firmly established inside. So, strictly speaking, they are not gurus in the strict sense. They are not gurus. But the knowledge what was given to be my guru, spiritual master, that knowledge in order to get it firmly established inside, I took their help. This is how Dattatreya sees that. Yeah. So, in this way, I take them as gurus. The knowledge I received from my guru, but that knowledge is not sinking in well. It's not sinking in well. We can see that ourselves, isn't it? How much knowledge has sunk in so far? After so many years, where are we now? We are at the same. It's not moving further, isn't it? So, knowledge doesn't get easily sunk in. We still have doubts. We still have questions. And that's how it is, right? So, he's saying that I have used their help. I used them to help me to get this knowledge firmly inside. So, and I learned all these different things from them, and in that way it helped, right? So, tris anuya vidrekam, it helped me to understand this, and this is how I have accepted them as gurus, right? And whereas, this Sachidananda Brahma Tattvam, or Paramasatyam, as Satyam Param Dhimahi, what Bhagavatam says, to get that inside us, firmly established, is a lot of trouble. It's a lot of work is required, a lot of effort is required, right? Because this vastu, what you are trying to capture inside, to make it as your own, is extremely subtle. Atyanda sushmam it is. That is why it is so difficult. Sushmam means very difficult to realize it. Very difficult to realize it, yeah? So many other things you can realize easily, certain things. But this tattvam, sushmam, which is atyanda sushmam, right? And so that is why this tattvajnanam or tattvabodham, it is called. So many books written about it. In Advaita Vedantam and in other Vedantam also, Vishishtadvaitam also, they have written so many books to help you how to get this tattvam inside. How to become realization. How to make it realize one's own. Intellectually you can hear, listen and tell others, but to make it as your own, that is the most difficult part, right? So, so it is for this purpose they are telling you that I've studied. The Tatramash is saying I took their help to get this knowledge inside properly, right? And different things in this world, like he said, the space, the air, the five material elements he spoke about first, right? And they all taught me different ways, different things. But the idea of knowing all these things was to get this tattvam strongly inside. I learned certain things from vayu, certain things from water, certain things from fire. But the purpose of all that was to get this tattvam strongly inside. Planted inside. So that it doesn't, I don't lose it anymore, the tattvam, right? And then he said that actually you require only one guru. You don't need so many gurus. But that guru should be Madhabhityam Gurum Shandam Upasidam Adalmadam. Krishna says that in the next chapter. In the tense, he begins with that. He begins that. You can't manufacture a guru. You can't manufacture a guru. Guru is a tattvam, that is, Antaryami has to create that tattvam in a person. And he has to be with that realization. Madhabhityam Gurum Shandam Upasidam Avadalmagam. What is Krishna saying? That you have to take the shelter of such a person who has that realization. And that is why he's going to say all these things in the next chapter. Tasmal Gurum Prabhadyeda Jinyasu Shraya Muttamam Shabde Pareja Nishnadam Brahmani Upashamashrayam. Upanishad says this. Yeah? A guru has to be like that. Tasmal Gurum Prabhadyeda Jinyasu Shraya Muttamam Shabde Pareja Nishnadam Brahmani Upashamashrayam. Right? Because he's saying here, like earth, water, air, ether, fire, and all the other 24 spiritual masters, you should not think of them as real gurus. They are not gurus actually. Only thing they are doing is they are helping you in your realization. To help that realization, they have something to teach you. Therefore, you are accepting them. Yeah? So, because they are helping to get this knowledge in you strongly, strongly embedded or strongly grounded in that. Yeah? So, saying that, I have taken their help, he's saying. I have taken their help. Right? And so Dattatreya considers them like that. All the things in this world. Whatever helps me to get this knowledge strongly, I'll accept them as the guru's position. But no, they're not actual gurus. Actual guru, the one whom, from whom he has received the transcendental knowledge, the realized soul. So with that, the ninth chapter is over. You see, when he said that, that is what this verse, you see. What is the need for so many different gurus? Shvetaketu has accepted only one guru. Bhrigu has accepted only one guru. Why do I need so many gurus? And to say that, he says the 31st verse. Nahe asmal gurur jnanam sustiram syat supushkalam brahmaidada adhudiyam vai ghiyade bahudarshubhi. Means that quite usually, I mean, quite normal it is, from one guru alone, your knowledge won't become complete and you won't be fully perfected in your spiritual life. It is not possible from one guru alone to happen. It may not happen, right? And so what has the rishis have done because of that? What the rishis have done, right? They will present the guru principle in two different ways. Saprapancham and Nishprapancham. What that means is that the taking into account what you have to learn from the world and on the other hand keeping the world out from you. Saprapancham means keeping the world within you and learning from the world and keeping the world outside from your mind, Nishprapancham, and maintaining, understanding the truth. These are two ways the rishis have spoken this, how to do that. Yeah. So, so that is what many places you will see this mentioned. Madhavijyam gurum shantam upasidam adalmagam, everything. Tasmal gurum prabhadyeda. All these Upanishad statements are based on that principle. And then Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Ittitva asa yadum vipramstam amandraga bhirati vandido abhyartido rajya yaya oprito yathagadam. Dattatreya spoke like this to Yadu and then he said goodbye to Yadu and left. He didn't want to spend a lot of time. He says, I have no time. And he's gone. That is how they are. You remember when Parikshit realized Shobhramashi walked out. Didn't stay further after that. Didn't even say, I'm going. Because Shukabrahmashi understood, he has realized it. I don't need to say anything to him. You say goodbye to somebody only when you are on the bodily identity, is it not? When you are realize who you are, then you don't have to say goodbye to anybody anymore. That's over then. So that is spiritual life. Spiritual life is different. You don't say goodbye in spiritual life. So... So the same thing here, Dattatreya Maharshi thought, I have told him whatever I have to say to him. Dattatreya took it that he has understood, so he left, didn't say anything further. And then Krishna is saying that, you know, Krishna says to Yadu, my ancestors, Krishna saying, they were all great personalities, he says. Avadhuta vajashrutva purvesham nasa purvaja sarvasanga vinirmukta samachitto vabhuvaha. This Yadu is my ancestor, Krishna says. Yadu is my ancestor, right? And after he heard from Dattatreya, he realized the truth. And then Yadu had no more doubts after this. So he is glorifying Yadu for that. That glorifying his ancestor Yadu, because he got this association with Dattatreya like this, and by listening to Dattatreya, he realized the truth, and he didn't have any doubts about it anymore. So, with that, that chapter over, ninth chapter. What Krishna has started saying to Uddhava, is it not? He started 24 spiritual masters like that. It was only an expansion of what he spoke in the first 6 verses, 7 to 12, in the Sondu Sarvam Paritej onwards. So, Dattatreya is one of the examples he has quoted. And this Dattatreya Gita, this whole thing is called Dattatreya Gita, is one of the 4 Gitas in the 11th canto. Ekadasha Skandam, there are 4 Gitas. Dattatreya Gita, Bhikshu Gita, Aila Gita, and Hamsa Gita. 4 of them. And they are all 4 important. All the 4 is to help us in the path of self-realization. All of them has its own offer to us. It supports people, right? So the Dattatreya Gita is finished. And then Krishna is saying in the next chapter that with avidya inside us, yeah, due to that, because of avidya, we forgot our connection with Antaryami. So Rupa Vismriti happened. And so that's an important thing, isn't it? How I fell into this bodily identity. I am told by Shastram that I am the same as the Antaryami inside. Shastram is telling me. But I don't feel that way. I feel I am this body. So that means I have forgotten my identity as the Antaryami. How did that happen? And first thing, I lost that identity as Antaryami. Then how did I fall into this bodily identification? That is the next one. I lost my identity as the Antaryami. One. Secondly, I started identifying with the body. 2 things have happened. It's not. And this is, both are misunderstanding happened. And this misunderstanding happened to the Jiva. Jiva got that, right? Alma in another form is Jiva. So the cause behind all this is called avidya. Avidya is the cause behind all that. And when I started identifying with the body, I started thinking I am a person. And a particular individuality came to me. Isn't it? Individuality came to me. And that once that individuality and personality had come, then I started suffering from material existence. Samsara klesha, it is called, right? So originally you can see this, avidya is responsible for everything. Everything began with that. When avidya got inside, we lost our spiritual identity, Antaryami, and then we started identifying with the body. Everything is avidya, nothing but avidya, right? So this avidya is responsible for our material existence, right? By, in its original situation, Jiva is pure Sachidananda Paramatma, right? And Krishna is making it very clear in this chapter. The Jiva's original nature is not different from him, from Sachidananda Paramatma. It is only because of avidya, he is feeling that he is this body, and he is feeling he has nothing to do with me. He feels this separate existence because of that. Yeah. So, so in this chapter, Krishna is arguing against all other philosophies, which is against Advaitam. Vedantam is Advaitam, right? And he is saying, defeating all of them by justifying Advaitam, and he is saying that avidya is responsible for this situation, this vismriti and this misunderstanding, and this personality, all these are the end result of avidya. To think that Surupa Vismriti, which means forgetting your spiritual identity, then this misunderstanding, I am this body, and this identification as a personality, all these 3 things, Krishna is saying here, is only because of avidya. It starts from there, he said. And that is what he's going to talk about in the 10th chapter, right? So, and it is because of this avidya only that we have this connection with this material world, material existence, right? And Jiva, on the other hand, in reality, Jiva is not different from Antaryami. Antaryami is Paramatma, Satchidananda Paramatma, right? So Krishna first does that, right? Those who are against this, he is refuting that. And then after that, Krishna uses the same Anvaya Vyatirekam and tells Uddhava the Atma Tattvam in the same way through Anvaya Vyatirekam logic, right? And the sadhana, what is required for that, for realizing that. First he talks about the jnana sadhana, and that is what he does first, right? And then through Anvaya Vyatirekam logic, he is analyzing the tattvam, Atma tattvam, and he is saying to us that this Atma jnanam, knowledge of the self, before it gets very strongly installed or strongly accepted inside, there are certain sadhana processes which can help you, he says. And you have to do that sadhanas first and get that strength from there. And those sadhanas are also, he has spoken in the next chapter, right? Mainly centered around jnana sadhana, jnanam process, right? So that is how this 10th chapter begins, right? So it's a very heavy chapter, this 10th chapter. Very heavy in the sense, basically what Krishna is going to say a lot of things later, he has put them in this chapter. We have discussed this chapter before on its own. If you want to listen to that, there is a lot in this chapter, and it is an important chapter. In the practically, you can say with this chapter, Ekadasha Skandam is finished. But because this 10th chapter created a lot of questions in Uddhava, Uddhava asked those questions and then he is clarifying that in the subsequent chapters. That is how important this chapter is, this 10th chapter is. Yeah. So, Krishna's point is that when you have become free from this asambhavana and vivarita bhavana, when you have become free from all those things, right, then you can do certain sadhanas, what you can do at that stage. Obviously, all this is for people who are doing sadhana on a very higher level. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not for anyone and everyone. That is why most of the time people don't touch Ekadasham. They stay out of Ekadasham. Because the very nature itself, you can see, Krishna is talking, Uddhava, you cannot get a better disciple than him, can you? 115 years spent with Krishna. 115 years of life with Krishna. When they met each other, they were 10 years old in Mathura, when they met first time. Then from that day onwards, the association started. So this 115 years, Uddhava is constantly watching Krishna. How does he deal with different things? What does he say? And he has taken everything, wholeheartedly accepted Krishna. Everything in his life. And he knew who Krishna is. So therefore, constantly he is trying to learn from Krishna everything. And that knowledge has gone in so much in depth. And it is to that Uddhava Krishna is saying this. And he is saying, so finally, when Uddhava was leaving, Krishna had no difficulty to leave Uddhava. Uddhava was finding it difficult to leave Krishna, isn't it? That is how the last verses are, you will see. And there you will see one important thing. What is that? Even though this Advaita Tattvam has gone into Uddhava so much, and Uddhava understood very well what Krishna has spoken, everything. In spite of that, Uddhava had problem. That is that one particular verse, what you will find there. While leaving, what he said to Krishna. He says, you are asking me to go, and I will go. But I have a problem, he said. Yeah. So what was his problem, he said? that always that verse doesn't come. The one said. That's all right.
When was the man chapter?
No, I think it's later. It is an important verse. Yeah. It is in the 29th chapter, while leaving. 40th verse. Namostu de maha yogin prabanna manishadhimam yadha tva charanam boje radisyal anabhayini. Uddhava is saying to Krishna that no matter, Krishna has convinced Uddhava in the sense that made Uddhava realize that you are not different from me. The same Sachidananda Brahman, what is present in this form, is present in that form. That is why he said to Uddhava that you are not different from me. Tantu Bhagavade Shwaham. All so many places he has spoken this about this to Uddhava, right? But while leaving, Uddhava has a problem. Uddhava is saying, all this knowledge you have spoken to me. Namostude Mahayogin. And I have taken your shelter without which this knowledge won't go inside me and work for me. So therefore, this relationship should not finish with this. In other words, that bhakti in Uddhava is not allowing him to accept that principle that when Krishna says you are not different from me. Uddhava is finding it difficult. He is saying, Namostude Mahayogin, Prapanna Manishadhimam, but at the same time, Yedha tva charanam bhoje redhi. I should always have this relationship going. I don't want to lose that, he's saying. Radhisyal anabhayini. Anabhayini means that it should not get destroyed. This relationship should always stay like this. So even in spite of hearing all this Bhagavadam, Ekadasham and everything, this one relationship he is finding it difficult to abandon it. He is getting the happiness from that relationship. So that is why, even though we may realize, self-realization may happen, and what Krishna has spoken, Advaita Tattvam, Atma Tattvam, that we are not different from him, everything. For a devotee, it is very difficult to forget this relationship, what Krishna has given to Uddhava. That is why that verse was spoken there. Atma doesn't have... Krishna's main teaching to Uddhava is, Atma has nothing to do with this world. It has no connection with this world. World is going through so many changes, so many wars, so many fighting, all these kinds of going on. Atma has nothing to do with that world, what's going on in this world, right? And if you are feeling a connection strongly with the world, it's only because of upadhis in you. Upadhi bandham, it is called. Yeah, upadhi bandham. Otherwise, Atma has no samsara bandham. Bandham means relationship. Yeah, Atma doesn't have any relationship with the world. But due to upadhis like body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, because of all that, we feel we have a connection with this world. Otherwise, we have no connection with this world whatsoever. This is the Atma tattvam. And to get this in realization is very difficult. The way we are now, it's not. So we'll discuss that after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadho jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrudaswadhanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti Tatrarpida nimida smarnina kalam. Eda drishita vakriba bhagavan mamabi. ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിലാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരഭീഷുനീചേന തരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാംബാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാൽ ഭക്തിരഹേ ദുഃഖി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദ തനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം ശമേ ഭവാംബുധോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദമംഗജ സ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയ ഗിര പുളകൈർനിജിതം ഗദാ ഭവോ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽസർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ അശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം പിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം അർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിധദാ തുലം വടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാഭരാ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രീ ഭഗവാനുവാചാം മയോദിദേശവഹിതം സ്വധർമ്മേഷോ മദാശ്രയ വർണാശ്രമകുലാചാരം അകാമാത്മാ സമാചരേൻ അന്വേക്ഷേത വിശുദ്ധാത്മാ ദേഹിനാം വിഷയാത്മനാം ഗുണേഷു തത്വധ്യാനേന സർവാരംഭ വിപര്യയം സുപ്തസ്യ വിഷയാൻ ലോകോ ധ്യായതോ വാ മനോരഥ സ്ഥാനാത്മകത്വാധിപല തഥാ ഭേദാത്മനിർഗുണൈഹി നിവൃത്തം കർമ്മസേവീത പ്രവൃത്തം മൽപരസ്യ ജൽ ജിജ്ഞാസായം സംപ്രവൃത്തോ നാദ്രിയേൽ കർമ്മചോദനം യമാനഭീഷണം സേവീത നിയമാൻ മൽപരക്വചൽ മതഭിജ്ഞം ഗുരും ശാന്തം ഉപാസീത മതാത്മകം അമാന്യമത്സരോ ദക്ഷോ നിർമ്മമോ ദൃഢസൗഹൃദ അസത്വരോ അർത്ഥജിജ്ഞാസോ അനസൂയോ അമോഘവാക് ജായാപത്യഗൃഹക്ഷേത്രം സുജനദ്രവിണാദിഷു ഉദാസീനസമം പശ്യൻ സർവേഷു അർത്ഥമിവാത്മനാഃ വിലക്ഷണ സ്ഥൂല സൂക്ഷ്മാൽ ദേഹാ ആത്മേക്ഷിതാ സുദൃക് യത് അഗ്നിർദാരുണോ ദാഹ്യ ദാഹകോ അന്യപ്രകാശക നിരോധൽപ്പത്തുണദ്ബൃഹം നാനാത്വം തൽകൃതാൻ ഗുണാൻ അന്തഃപ്രവിഷ്ടമാധത്ത ഏവം ദേഹഗുണാൻ പരാ യോസൌ ഗുണോർവിരചിതൗ ദേഹോയം പുരുഷസ്യ ഹി സംസാരസ്ഥനിബന്ധോയം പുംസോ വിദ്യാചിദാത്മനാം തസ്മാൽ ജിജ്ഞാസയാത്മാനം ആത്മസ്ഥം കേവലം പരം സംയമനിരസദ്വേദൽ വസ്തുബുദ്ധിം യഥാക്രമം ആചാര്യോരണിരാജ്യസ്യാൽ അന്തേവാസിത്തരാരണി തൽസന്ധാനം പ്രവചനം വിദ്യാസന്ധി സുഖാവഹ വൈശാരദീസാദിവിശുദ്ധബുദ്ധിർ ധുനോധിമായാം ഗുണസംപ്രസൂതാം ഗുണാംശ സന്ദഹ്യേതാത്മമേതൽ സ്വയം ജശാമ്യ തസമി യഥാഗ്നി. സോ ഇൻ ദീസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഫസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി പാഞ്ചരാത്രീയ വിധി പഞ്ചരാത്രം വിച്ച് ഈസ് ബിലോങ്സ് ടു ആഗമം ദേ ആർ ആഗമം ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് പാഞ്ചരാത്രം then the ശൈവാഗമം പാശുപദം they are ശൈവാഗമം വൈഷ്ണവാഗമം ശൈവാഗമം they are ആഗമശാസ്ത്രം they are വേദം is നിഗമം these are ആഗമം പുരാണം is all categorized into that. So Krishna is saying here in Pancharatram is actually in five nights. Pancharatri means five nights. In five nights time വിഷ്ണു സ്പോക്ക് ടു ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദിസ് പാഞ്ചരാത്രി ആഗമം റൈറ്റ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ ഫൈവ് നൈറ്റ്സ് ടൈം പാഞ്ചരാത്രം രാമാനുജാചാര്യർ ഫോളോസ് ദാറ്റ് പാഞ്ചരാത്രി വിധി ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഫോളോഡ് ഇൻ ദർ ടെമ്പിൾസ് വൈഷ്ണവ ടെമ്പിൾസ് ബട്ട് ദി ടെമ്പിൾസ് ഇൻ തിരുപ്പതി ഫോളോസ് വൈഖാനസം വൈഖാനസ ഋഷീസ് പരമ്പര പാഞ്ചരാത്രം ഈസ് ത്രൂ നാരദ മഹർഷി വൈഖാനസം ഈ ത്രൂ വൈഖാനസ മഹർഷി സോ തിരുപ്പതി ഫോളോസ് വൈഖാനസം Srirangam follows and similarly Kanchipuram Varadaraja Perumal temple they all follow Pancharatram. So Pancharatri Agamam talks about Vaishnava dharma many Vaishnava dharma and Krishna is saying here that Vaishnava dharma you should follow those who wants to follow, realize the truth for them right not deviate from that and you should follow Vaishnava dharma in such a way that without breaking the rules of Vaishnava Dharma, you should stay in Varnashrama Dharma, Krishna is saying. Without breaking the rules of Vaishnava Dharma, that means Pancharatriya Vidhi is Vaishnava Dharma. Vaishnava Dharma has come from Varnashrama Dharma. But there are some places where there is disagreement between Vaishnava Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma. In such cases, Krishna is saying, you should stick to Vaishnava Dharma rather than Varnashrama Dharma. So, but you should follow Varnashrama Dharma without breaking the rules of Vaishnava Dharma, in other words. Krishna has given importance to Varnashrama Dharma also, right? That's what he is saying here. Varnashrama Kulacharam Agam Alma Samacharet Mayodide Shavahitam Sodharmeshu Madashraya. So, Sodharmam, when he is saying this, Sodharmeshu Madashraya, basically he is referring to Bhagavata Dharma. So, when we say Vaishnava Dharma, you should not misunderstand in the another way. People will think only Vaishnavas know Vaishnava Dharma. No, no, no. Vaishnava Dharma means Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma. That means bhakti, basically. Bhakti, Bhagavata Dharma. Karmakandam, Karma Yogam comes from. Karma Yogam, when you connect that with bhakti, it becomes Bhagavata Dharma. Yeah? So, this is an indication to tell us that if anything in Varnashrama Dharma, which is opposing Vaishnava Dharma, which is not helping bhakti, that's what it means, which is not helping bhakti, you should avoid it. You should avoid that. Anything in Varnashrama Dharma that is not supporting bhakti, those principles in Varnashrama Dharma, you can ignore it. Krishna is saying you can ignore that in Varnashrama Dharma, right? In other words, Vaishnava Dharma is important. Bhagavata Dharma is important. That's what Krishna is saying here. Bhagavata Dharma is more important. What is Bhagavata Dharma means? Bhakti sadhanas that is spoken in the Bhagavata Dharma, right? So, those Varnashrama Kulacharam, Varnam Ashrama Dharmam, and the Acharam, all the things associated with that, those things, if they are against bhakti, for executing bhakti sadhana, then you don't have to take them into account, Varnashrama Dharma, right? So, whereas those which are favorable for bhakti, Bhagavata Dharma, in the Varnashrama Dharma, you should follow them. So, what Krishna is trying to say is that if you want to realize the self, realize the truth, advajnanam, self-realization, right? He should give more importance to bhakti sadhana. To Bhagavata Dharma. He should give importance to that, right? That means anything what you do is not contradicting the bhakti sadhana. And without creating any problem for bhakti sadhana, if anything is creating problem, you can ignore it. You can drop them. Even though it is part of the Varnashrama Dharma. And you don't have to give prior importance to it. You should give importance to Bhagavata Dharma. Right? And those things in Varnashrama Dharma, which are favorable for Bhagavata Dharma, you should take it. You should use them. Right? So, whenever there is conflict between Bhagavata Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma, then how you can resolve it, you have to consult with people who are qualified in that. And provided if you feel that there is a conflict, if you feel there is a conflict between Varnashrama Dharma and Bhagavata Dharma, you should consult higher authorities who can help you with that. And clarify yourself and execute the Vaishnava Dharma or Bhagavata Dharma in such a way that Varnashrama Dharma you should protect. Krishna has not rejected Varnashrama Dharma. He says, but priority is for Bhagavata Dharma. priority for Bhagavad. Varnashram Dharmam existed way before. Bhagavad Dharmam came after Krishna spoke. Isn't it? Krishna spoke Bhagavad Dharmam to Uddhava. Whereas Varnashram Dharmam existed from the Rishi's time, way before that. So that is why when great personalities speak, they will always keep the past in their analysis and in their conclusions, right? They know that in the society, when you are saying something new, people will get confused about the past. So they have to give reference to the past also. So therefore Krishna is saying, Varnashram Dharmam is not wrong, but for one who wants to realize the truth. You see, everybody does not want to go back home, back to Godhead. Or everyone does not want to get liberated. Is it not? Among people also, society, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, that very few people, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yadati siddhaye, yadadam api siddhanam kashchinmam veti tatvada. Only out of thousands, very few people wants to know the truth. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yadati siddhaye. And those who are endeavoring for the truth, hardly anyone realizes it, he said. That famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So from that itself, you can understand that everybody in spiritual life is not for self-realization. That is why in spiritual life, you don't give importance to the number of people. That importance is in democracy, when you have to vote people. Otherwise, if thousands of people have come, it doesn't mean anything in spiritual life. Thousands of people go to so many temples all over the world. That doesn't mean all these millions of people going to all the big temples and holy places, they are all in spiritual life. No. From Krishna's position, those who are only looking for self-realization and who wants to become free from this cycle of birth and death, they are in spiritual life. Those who have that goal. But majority doesn't have that. Majority of the people go to the temple for various reasons. For fulfilling their material desires, or they are suffering from so many different problems in life, they go to the temple for shelter in this way. They are not included in spiritual life. Krishna's spiritual life means only those who have come to this firm conclusion, this world is a miserable place, just want to escape from here, don't want to come back here. One who is very convinced, fully convinced on that, and has come to that conclusion and who is working in that direction. It is for them, Krishna is saying that, for them Bhagavad Dharmam will help. But because Varnashram Dharmam existed so long, Krishna has to always refer to Varnashram Dharmam also. He says nothing wrong with Varnashram Dharmam, but if he wants to get free from this cycle of birth and death, and wants to become free from this entanglement of accepting different bodies, birth and death, birth cycle, then he should follow Bhagavad Dharmam for that. And some of the things in Bhagavad Dharmam may not be in agreement with Varnashram Dharmam. In that case, you should follow Bhagavad Dharmam. But if there is a conflict, you should consult people who are familiar with both Varnashram Dharmam and Bhagavad Dharmam. That's the way Krishna puts it here. Right? And so, and clarify in that way. So that's what he's saying here. Mayodideshavahitam sodharmesho madashraya Varnashrama kulacharam akamatma samacharet. You should not think that they are conflicting each other, and you should not totally abandon everything, right? Because we have this difficulty, isn't it? When we study Shastram, you will find one is conflicting with another, and then you say this is all bogus and throw the whole thing away. And we go back to our own old way of life. That shouldn't happen. That's what Krishna is saying here. Right? In fact, between Varnashrama Dharmam and Bhagavad Dharmam, is there a conflict? That's another question, right? And if you feel a conflict in anything, then you have to consult the learned people. And if they are saying that, if they tell you that Varnashrama Dharmam is not important, you can ignore that particular aspect, then you can give it up. You should not make your own decision on that. So, Bhagavad Dharmam and Varnashrama Dharmam, if you execute that, both should be done akamalpa samacharel, without expectation of any results. So you can see that Bhagavad Dharmam is also not easy. He is saying there, you should not execute Bhagavata Dharma for the sake of any material profit, material life. Yeah. Generally, we all have that difficulty, is it not? When you are in trouble, you want help. So, that time, whether you get sick, very sick, you want help. You'll pray to Krishna somehow or the other, take me out from this hellish situations, right? Or if you have other problems in family, somebody very close to you, suffering heavily, at that time you will actually, your mind will go in that direction. If it happens that way, it is not Bhagavata Dharma anymore. It has become Varnashrama Dharma. In Varnashrama Dharma it is allowed. Bhagavata Dharma it is not allowed. For material necessities or material fulfillment of any problems, if you use Krishna consciousness, then it is not Bhagavata Dharma anymore. Therefore he is saying there, akamalpa samacharel. It should be done completely free from any desire, no matter what it is. Yeah? So that is important point. In Bhagavata Dharma there is only one desire, to become a devotee, to surrender to Krishna and to develop a relationship with Krishna. That's all, nothing else, right? So with that goal in mind, one should follow Bhagavata Dharma, right? So that's what he is saying. Varnashrama kulacharam akamalpa samacharel. How can one become akamalpa without any desire? That's the most important thing, isn't it? Without desire, how to execute spiritual life? The answer for that is the next verse. How the desire will leave us, yeah? Anvicheda vishuddhalpa dehinam vishayalpanam guneshu tattvadhyanena sarvarambha vibhajayam. Anvicheda vishuddhalpa dehinam vishayalpanam guneshu tattvadhyanena sarvarambha vibhajayam. A person who is in Bhagavata Dharma, he has to develop this habit, one who is doing sadhana in Bhagavata Dharma. What is that? He says he should observe the world first. Himself, he should look at this world. And he should not get involved in the world, but he should look at the world. And by looking at the world, he should observe everything, what is going on with everybody around him. With everybody around him, right? And what is all happening to others? Look at others and see what's happening to them. Right? But you should stand as a witness, as an onlooker, and look at it, what is going on in the world. Right? And knowing like that, he says, guneshu tattvadhyayena sarva arambha vibharyayam. While observing this world, He should realize that everything what he is seeing here, one should not think they are all real. When you look at this world, yeah, all this is real. And once you start accepting everything as real, then the next problem will be that I will get permanent happiness from all these things. How our mind works like that, yeah? Once you feel the world is real, and once you feel this will always be there to enjoy, the next thing what will happen is that I will get a lot of happiness from that. This understanding will come to me. Once I accept this is whole thing is real, this world is real, right? And then what will happen? I will run after them to get it, to have it, right? So, I will start running after them. And then what will happen is their experiences. That means you are observing others, who is doing this. And that you have to stand away from that and see their life. And from that you have to learn. that they feel the world is real, and when they feel the world is real, they also feel that they will get happiness from this world, and with that illusion, they will run after different things in this world. And what you see in them is how distress comes to them in their life at the end. All these things you are supposed to see and learn from the world. That's what Krishna is saying there. Anvicheda Vishuddhatma Dehinam Vishayalpanam Guneshu Tattvadhyanena Sarvarambha Vibhayam. He says that what they are going through, you should learn from that. They think that the world is real. They think that because the world is real, they can have enjoyment here in this world. That is the modern philosophy, isn't it? You can enjoy this world. Life is only one life you have got. Enjoy to the maximum. This is injected in us. If that is what you are learning, then you have not learned anything. What Krishna is saying is that look at their suffering, what is going through, what is happening to them. They have seen the world is real, and they see the world is a lot of opportunities to enjoy, and because of that, they run after them, and eventually they get into trouble. They will get into trouble. It's not that you can have everything in life. Yeah? You can see over a period of time their life becomes very depressing, and because all their good time in life, they have squandered it in sense gratification. Yeah. So this realization must come to those who are following Bhagavata Dharma but not getting involved in it. He should come to this conclusion first. That is what this is. That's the way he says, those people who are struggling like this, trying to find happiness in this world and trying to exploit the world and exploit for sense gratification, you can observe and see that they are not getting it at the end, right? On the other hand, totally if you look at their life, it's all a distress at the end for them, for such people. Distress at the end, right? And this, we can have so many examples for this in this world, right? But there is no need to talk about individual examples because there is so many of them. Examples for this. So many examples for this. Planned their life, they were feeling happiness with the world, and they were trying to extract happiness from the world in different ways. At the end, everything collapsed and ended up in misery, and they left this world and gone. So Krishna says, one who is interested in Bhagavata Dharma, this realization must come to him after observing the world of others and not getting himself involved in that. So, so to cut to this, drishya vishayam means what you see with your eyes. Yeah, when you see how people get easily trapped in all these things, isn't it? They say that the life is wonderful, as long as there is plenty of money to spend, and you have plenty of places to go on holidays, and plenty of sense gratification available, life is good. But these people who are doing for that, they are not getting it at the end. Because they are not happy inside, that is why they need this different programs, right? Because inside there is no peace, that is why this is happening. They are thinking that they will become happy, but they are not becoming happy. One holiday is over, come back, you are again miserable after that. And then you have to think about the next holiday. And then like this, whole life, working hard, holiday. Working hard, holiday. This cycle back and forth. And at the end, one day, you can't go on holiday anymore. And then you feel miserable altogether. This is how it is. That is where life is in this world. For majority of the people, this is how it is happening, right? So, so they are running after these things, thinking that they will become happy, but they don't become happy. they don't get permanent happiness from that. On the other hand, they become miserable at the end. Now, you will see this, others have done this. They've done this. And that is why you saw Vidura said the same thing, isn't it? Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. Yeah, it's famous verses, right? Yeah, that's what Uddho, he was asking to Krishna. Sorry, to Maitreya Maharshi. Yes. Yeah, it is the second, fifth chapter, third canto. Fifth chapter, second verse. Sukhaya Vidura Vacha. Vidura says to Maitreya Maharshi that Sukhaya Karmani Karyoti Loko Nathai Sukham Vad Anyadubharamam Vad Yad Atrayuktam Vandeda Bhuyasada Meva Dukham Yad Atrayuktam Bhagavan Vadena. 36 years he wandered around the whole Bharata Bhumi observing other people, and this was his conclusion. And this is what is Krishna is talking about here. What Vidura has spoken to Maitreya Maharshi. The same thing. Vidura is saying this, and this conclusion we should come to before you start Bhagavad Dharma. Sukhaya karmani karyodi lokam nadai sugambad anyadubharamam va vindeda bhuyastuda eva dukham yad atrayuktam bhagavan vadena. Everybody is working in this world, engaging in karma for the sake of becoming happy, right? But he does not become free from happiness. On the other hand, distress is also coming, right? And no way of getting out of distress. Not only that, a lot of distress comes sometimes. So tell me what I should do. Vidura asking this question to Maitreya Maharshi, right? That's what Krishna is asking us to understand from this world. This won't come so easily. This realization won't come so easily. It took 36 years for Vidura to come to this understanding. By wandering around all over, he noticed this with people. That's what's happening everywhere. Everybody is working hard to become happy. Distress is coming. So remember, we were discussing this before. You can't get only one of this. You have to accept both. If you want sukham, accept dukham also. That is the deal. That is the deal, yeah? You can't say that I will only have sukham, I won't have dukham. Maya won't agree that. Maya says you want sukham, you can have, but you also have to accept dukham then. This understanding is important. Krishna says this. This understanding is important. Sukham alone you can't have. You will have to accept dukham also. So if you say, I don't want sukham, then you don't have to accept dukham either. That is the agreement. That's the agreement. So that is what this is saying. This is why when Vidura asked this question, Maitreya Maharshi smiled after hearing the question. He smiled because this question is a good question, but at the same time, this is also about Maya. It is Maya who is doing this to us, right? Maya gives you, like there's some examples, they say, he'll give you a lot of trouble and then he'll put a chocolate in the mouth and give you a slap on the cheek. So, and then when the chocolate comes in, you start thinking, oh, it's very nice, everything is good here. And then the slap comes, then you feel miserable also. And this is our life in this world, yeah? So it is on that principle he is asking this. Sukhaya karmani karyoti loko nadai sukham vad anyadubharamam va vindeda bhuyastadam eva dukham yadatra yuktam bhagavan vatena. So all people are working very hard in this world. So many young people, you see them all of the time. They work very hard, and the only thing that keeps them going is the holiday they have booked. That's what is keeping them going in this world. Is this life? You call this as life? That you require always this motivation from the holiday to keep working hard here. So they are not able to give it up, because if that holiday is not there, they don't know why they are working. At least there is an answer now that the holiday has been booked, has to be paid. So I would work hard to pay for the holiday. Yeah. So this is what Vidura noticed. Of course, there was no paid holidays like this in Vidura's time. But basically they were also doing the similar thing in a different way. So he's saying here that Vidura says, I don't think they are very happy either. Because when they finish their holiday and will come back, they look miserable. So they have to go back to work again. And again, they get a little bit motivated thinking about the holiday, and when they get to the next holiday, they feel happy. When they come back, they are miserable. So sukham dukham, it is like that, he says. And they don't want the distress, but distress comes. Right? Why does this happen? He says. So, and you have worked, desired very much happiness, and you worked hard for that, but dukkham is coming in life. Yeah? And this you have to observe people, different people in different ways, and from their life you learn this lesson. So, Maitreya Maharshi says, everybody wants happiness, no doubt. But the problem with that is, they are expecting happiness from temporary objects. Drishya Vishaya. They are temporary object. And from temporary object, they are looking for permanent happiness. And that's not possible. From temporary object, you are looking for permanent happiness. Everything is temporary, is it not? Body even is temporary. And from this body, I am looking for happiness. So therefore, I cannot get happiness permanently either from the world outside or from this body. That's the conclusion, right? Because what you see in this world, they are not permanent. Nothing is permanent. Including this body is not permanent, right? So anything that is created stays for some time and then disappears is called a chanika pratibhasam. That means it exists temporarily, that's all. It's not real. Therefore, it's not real. It was created one day, it stays for some time, and it will get destroyed later. Therefore, it's not permanent, and therefore, you won't get happiness from that. From temporary things, you will get temporary happiness. Yeah? Not permanent happiness. So, the nature of anything, you cannot change it. For example, everything in this world is temporary, and you can't make it permanent. Because it's the very nature of the world. Everything is temporary. Similarly, this body also is a temporary thing. I can't change its nature, even if I want to. The nature of this body, it is temporary. And so from temporary things to expect permanent happiness means that it's not going to work. From temporary things, you won't get permanent happiness. Body is temporary, the world is temporary. When I say the world, it refers to your home, family, children, and all the other things what you have acquired in life. They are all temporary things. So to think that I will be permanently happy with all these things is not going to happen. That's what he's saying here. So, and they give the example that drishya vishayam, that means what you are seeing as the world, and temporary body and all these things. Say you went into the garden in the morning, all the flowers are open, the sunshine has come, and a nice smell of all the flowers. Yeah? And you feel very happy about it, seeing the garden. Its color, different color flowers, and its smell, all these things, right? And you were happy to spend time in that garden. Then you went to work, and then you came home in the evening. When you went to the same garden, what did you see? All the flowers have dried up. The whole day sunshine has made the flowers to fall off. And all the happiness what you felt in the morning has gone. Now, right? And you're not feeling any more enthusiasm to spend the time in the garden because all the flowers and plants all looking very dry because of the sun, right? So, this is the same thing with this world also. What you will get from this world is some momentary happiness here and there. And permanent happiness you won't get from temporary things. Because of that, what happens is that I'm approaching this world with this mindset that I can be permanently happy. Because I won't get permanent happiness from this world, I get a little bit of happiness here and there, but at the end I get a lot of distress. Because when this body becomes useless, it cannot enjoy anymore. It doesn't have the strength. The senses have become weak. The mind has become weak. Physically you are not able to do anything. And then you start thinking, all these years I thought I'll be happy, but I can't be happy anymore because the body is having the problem. And similarly, the world outside has changed a lot. It's not the same world what you used to think before. So once you have understood it properly, understood means once you have accepted this properly, then your desire for sense enjoyment and to enjoy this world, all these things will go from inside. You will know that this world is not an attractive place. Yeah. So, and then this desire for approaching Krishna for sense enjoyment and fulfilling desires, and similarly, your attachment for following Varnashrama Dharma, the attachment to all that will leave you on its own once you have got this realization. You won't be very concerned about serving Krishna for sense gratification. The majority of the people in this world approach Krishna for fulfilling desires, is it not? So, therefore he is saying, observe the world outside. And what is their experience? Learn from that. And like a witness, observe everything. And but at the same time, don't get involved in that. Observe them and learn from them. And to think that sense objects, to feel satya buddhi in them, that they are all real and it will be there, and I will get permanent happiness from that. That illusion, I should become free from that. If I run after them, I won't get happiness. Instead, I will get a lot of distress at the end. And if you have that conclusion, then this sukha buddhi means that I will get happiness from that sense objects, that will go away from inside. Yeah. These things one has to do oneself. Somebody else cannot do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Or all of us have to do it ourselves and learn this. No other person can help us on this. Individually one has to do it. This is spiritual life. That one has to analyze oneself, these things, right? So, there are many things in spiritual life which we have to do on our own. No other person can help us. Because sometimes people think that everything has to be spoon-fed. You can tell the principles involved, but doing that is the job of the person who is in spiritual life. So that's what he is leading to. Krishna is leading to that. Yeah. Without doing your part, or my part, or our part, you can say, blaming everybody else for that is no good. It's not going to work. I can blame so many others for how things have gone wrong. Everything was perfect in my life. No, I have to learn these things and I also have to understand spiritual life properly rather than blaming everybody else, right? So, if I have played my role properly and with a pure consciousness and sincerity, and in order to get that purity inside, people who are identifying with the body, they have Abhimanam. And when they are running after sense objects, right? And what is happening to them, I should learn from that. And I should know how to stay out of it. I should stay out of it, right? One thing is very clear, they are not getting the happiness, what they are looking for. On the other hand, one day or the other, all their plan gets broken down and distress is coming to them in their life, and you will be convinced on that. Krishna is saying that once you are convinced on that, your illusion, that the illusion, delusion what you had about material world will also change. We will also become free from our misunderstanding about world, right? You can see this, Krishna is saying you have to do it yourself first, yeah? And having said that, Krishna says that suptasya vishayan loko dhyayatova manoratham nayal magatval vibhala tatha bhedal padir gunai. This is a very important chapter, very thought-provoking, in other words, about life, yeah? And if you more absorb in that, you will get a lot of benefit from that. If you absorb in this chapter. Because it is solid spiritual knowledge. Krishna is beginning his instructions to Uddhava like this, explaining this, yeah? He is saying that this is also an expansion of what he spoke to Uddhava in the beginning. In the beginning, what is that seven verses, what he started, Tamdu Sarvam Bharitesh onwards, yeah? It's an expansion of that. Suptasya vishayal loko dhyayadova manoratham nanatmagattval vipala tatha bhedalpadir gunai. Krishna is saying here, suppose you went to sleep and you are dreaming there, right? Or normal people in this world, right? We say we are in the vacant state. Actually, we are not fully in the vacant state, right? Even though we are awake, we are half awake. And half time we are in the dream state. But this dream state in the vacant state is not called dream. It's called manoratham. Manoratham is also a dream only. You know, you are sitting at home and you are thinking about, sometimes you are awake, but you are thinking about so many things happening in this world. What's happening in Iran, what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Ukraine, and what's happening to so many different people. What is all this about? Manoratham it is called. It's a sopnam only. It's nothing more than a sopnam. But it is not called a sopnam, it is called a manoratham, mental chariot. Your mind is absorbed in all these kind of things, what you are thinking. Or if you don't have all that, the politics or all sorts of things, that's all manoratham. So actually, that is not jagrat. Jagrat is not only if the eyes open, you are jagrat. No. Jagrat mixed with the dream state is your normal state. Jagrat mixed with this manoratham. That is our normal state, yeah? Whereas the dream state is pure dream. You are completely left this world. And you have gone there, right? So, the dream state when you wake up, yeah? When you wake up from the dream state, what do you think about the dream state? You think, you're saying that you are dreaming something. And you have not given any validity to that. Because you're saying that it was just a dream. Why did it happen? How did that happen? You don't know anything about it. And everything what happened in the dream also, you are not able to take it seriously because that you are considering that as a dream state. What Krishna is saying here is, why you take your vacant, so-called vacant state, which you think you are woken up, when your senses and is acting, senses are working, why you give so much importance to it? Even the so-called vacant state also is not different from the dream state. That is the first thing what Krishna is trying to say to us. The so-called vacant state is also not different from the dream state. Why? Because Veda Buddhi is there in both states. Is it not? Veda Buddhi means you see things differently. One good, one bad. One right, one wrong. And one pleasant experience, another one unpleasant experience. These Veda Buddhi and has its effect on us, both in the vacant state as well as in the dream state. This does not come in the deep sleep. In Sushupti, it doesn't. Veda Buddhi is not there. You can observe yourself, is it not? Those who have got Sushupti. People like us, we don't have Sushupti anymore. That's finished. No, don't get sleep at night, so you come here. Straight away. If there's any program, happy to go in the night. Because there's no traffic, you're happy to drive wherever you are. Not getting sleep, what to do? So, Veda Buddhi is only there in the wakened state and in the dream state. It's not that in the Sushupti, right? So, this Veda Buddhi, Krishna is saying here, Nanatmagatva Vibhala Tadha Vedatma Nirgune. Understand this verse is very detailed, right? It helps a lot. Krishna is saying here that in Swapnam, in the dream state, and in the vacant state, in the Manoratham. Vacant state is a mixture of both. Vacant state, when you are vacant, you are doing something, that means you are fully vacant. But when you are not doing anything, it's Manoratham, which is nothing but different than the dream state. Yeah. So Krishna is saying here that actually everything what is happening in the dream state and everything what is happening in the Manoratham, that Manorajyam, what they call it as, yeah, everything what you are going through then is all mithya, it's all false. Similarly, the Veda Buddhi, what you have in the Jagrat state is also is mithya. This is what Krishna is asking us to understand first. All this requires some amount of thinking involved here. So Krishna says that nanatmagatva vibhala tada bhedalpadir gunai tada bhedalpadir gunai. So as long as there is Veda Buddhi working, then it is all mithya. Everything is mithya. It's false. Who says that this is right and this is wrong? The mind is saying that. This is good and this is bad. Mind is saying that. And similarly, all our experiences also. This is good. For example, if you had a nice pleasant dream, you don't want to come out of it. You want to stay. But then suddenly you wake up and then you realize it was all a dream. You say, you wish you could have stayed in that. But suppose it was a miserable experience in the dream. As soon as you wake up, you feel, oh, great relief that you have come out of it. So, who said this is a good one and that's a bad one? The mind. The mind is that place where you felt that. Yeah? So, Krishna's point is that all the drishya vishayam, what you are seeing here, so tatsa vishayan logo dhyayato va manoratham nanatmagatval vibhala tadha bhedalpadir gunai. He's saying here, drishya vishayam, all what you are seeing here is chanika pratibhasam. That means it's temporary, first of all, and they are not truth. What you are experiencing in the dream is not truth. What you are experiencing in the vacant state is also not truth. First of all, we have to come to accept this, these two things. Dream state is not truth. Vacant state is also not truth. Why? Because they all come, they stay for some time and they go away. So therefore it's not the truth. Mithya. It's not saying that it doesn't exist. It does exist, but it's not permanent. Temporarily experience it is, right? So everything you experience through the senses in the vacant state is all mithya. The word used in Shastram is mithya. Mithya means not that it is completely false, but it is temporary. Therefore it is not real. It's not the truth. Because it is temporary, it's not the truth. Remember that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? The Nasato Vidyade Bhav. Krishna's definition of truth is something that is permanent. If anything is temporary, it is not truth. Nasato Vidyade Bhav. Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada. That is the fundamental principle behind that. Yeah. So it is on that principle Krishna is saying this. So, and everything what you experience through the senses are all mithya. They are not satyam. They are not real. So therefore, Krishna is saying that suptasya vishayan logo dhyayatova manoratham nanalpangutval vibhala tada bhedalpadir gunai. Because if you have gone through senses and experienced something, there will be Veda Buddhi in that. Ragadvesham will be that. And therefore they are not real. They are all false. That is the first thing Krishna has to say, right? Because there will be, whether it is good or bad, it will only stay for some time. After that it will disappear. Just like a person who is sleeping and in the dream, right? So, Swapna Padartham, when you are dreaming something, whatever you have dreamt disappears when you wake up, is it not? You say you are shopping in the big shopping mall, you have driven your car, everything. Where is the car, where is the shopping mall when you wake up? It's all gone. Krishna is saying your vacant state is also like that. You are thinking, taking it so seriously, everything is so real in the world, right? He says, you look at the world, he says, that you get a lot of happiness by looking at the flowers or looking at the sunshine. But by evening, when sun is present, these flowers which gave you happiness in the morning, by evening, it has all become fully dried up, totally, right? So, those flowers have only that much lifespan. In the morning they came and they gave you some happiness, by evening they all got dried up and it is over. It's over, right? So this is called a Kshaniya Pratibhasam. Temporary happiness it comes, right? So, so it is similar to dream only. It is similar to a dream only. What you are getting through Manoratham. This, as I said, Jagrat, vacant state. It's not that now we are all in vacant state. Suppose the mind is thinking something else. That means it's Manoratham. So vacant state mixed with the dream state is our vacant state, actually. So, so Krishna is saying that they are temporary, whether it is in the dream state or in the Manoratham. Manoratham, right? And they will disappear. For example, I was dreaming so many things, sitting in the chair, dreaming about so many things. But after some time, they're all gone. That it gone, like the dream, it has disappeared, right? So it means their lifespan is only very limited. In the same way, Krishna is saying, in vacant state, whatever you are experiencing through your senses, they are all like that. They are all like that. They have been created one day, they will stay for some time, and then they will disappear. They are all mithya. The category, they belong to a category called mithya, not satyam, right? So, so what we experience through our five senses in this world are as false as what you have experienced without these senses in the dream state. That's the first thing to know. What in the vacant state you have experienced through your senses is as false as what you have experienced in your dream state without these senses. Practically what Krishna is saying to us is, what do you think that you have given too much importance to the senses and started thinking everything what you have experiencing through the senses are all real? And that is a big trap we have fallen into. Unless we come out of that trap, it is difficult to know what the absolute truth is. So his point is that, right, just like in Swapnam, in dream state, some happiness you got from that, suppose it was a good dream, but temporarily you got it. As soon as you woke up, everything gone. Happiness gone, the dream gone, and all the world is gone, the dream world is gone. In the similar way, Krishna is saying, what you are getting through the sense objects, through the senses, and from the sense objects, you have to treat that in the same way, like in the dream state, right? You won't get permanent happiness, like in the dream state. You won't get permanent happiness from the sense objects either. So, Krishna's point is, don't say that your so-called vacant state is in any way superior to the dream state. They have to be treated from spiritual position, they have to be treated in the equal level, equal way. Because both are temporary and both can only give you temporary happiness. They are not real. Neither of them, Krishna says, are real. Neither the vacant state is real nor the dream state is real. Right? So, because the only difference between vacant state and the dream state is, in the vacant state you are using your senses to make contact with the sense objects in the world, and because senses also will disappear one day, and the world also will disappear one day, they are not permanent, and therefore this current relationship with the world through the senses, Krishna says you can't take it seriously. It won't help you in your self-realization. That is Krishna's point, right? They are not permanent. Mm-hmm. So, having said that, he says that because they have been created one day, they stay for some time and then they disappear. That includes our body as well. Because of that, it is all mithya, he says. Mithya doesn't mean that it is, does not exist. It does exist, but it is temporary. Oh, that is what he is saying here. Nashwaram. He will use that word later. Nashwaram karmamanam cha vidhi mayamanomim. He used in that seven verses when he spoke. Yeah. Nashwaram karmamanam cha vidhi mayamanomim. They are all nashwaram. Anything through nashwaram things, temporary things, you can't search for the reality, the absolute truth. You won't get from that. Yeah. So, swapnam manoratham. So, what we are experiencing in swapnam, it is a similar way what you are experiencing in the vacant state, vishayam, sense objects, right? Both are temporary, and this understanding, Krishna is saying, one should do it using his own intelligence, and he should think about it and get this understanding inside him, what Krishna has spoken about it. Yeah? Through vicharam, through thinking about it. What is that? So, and this we have to do it ourselves. Krishna can't do it for us. We have to do it ourselves. Right? So one thing, why Krishna says all these things is, only with a lot of effort, self-realization will happen. It is not so easily achievable. It's not handed over in a plate like that. You have to work for that very hard, and lot of involvement is there with the mind to think all these things and to get convinced on that. Krishna puts the logic in front of us. This is the logic, Krishna says. But how to use that logic and come to this right conclusion, that's our duty to do that. Yeah. So, then, you think about this way, right? Everything in this world, you have to work hard, isn't it? Otherwise, it doesn't happen. Nothing is given free. Yeah. For example, to get a good job in this world, how many years we gave in our life? 20, 30 years almost, is it not? At least minimum 10 years at school, 4, 5 years in the colleges, 15. And then you keep on studying after that also to keep yourself. All for what? At the end. Yeah. So with that knowledge, except you get a good position or job or whatever it is, right? With that knowledge, what you have acquired in these 15, 20 years in life, the best part of life, yeah, you spent and got that, you didn't get any other profit except a good job and a good income. Even if you have got that, that's all what you get from that. Nothing more than that, is there? 15, 20 years, a good part of your life, at a good time in life, with all energy, what you have invested in that, the benefit what you get from that, is either a good job or a good income for a life, if you are lucky enough, right? So, and you may have got to know about this world something, nothing more than that, yeah? It's not denied, right? But if you look at it from the spiritual point of view, did you get any benefit from that? Absolutely nothing. That education, I'm saying, right? So, for the sake of a livelihood, if you are willing to give 15, 20 years of your life for that purpose, out of your maximum lifespan of 100 years, if you are given that, right? Out of the 100 years, 15, 20, 25 years you have lost in education itself. First five years don't take into account, because that's mukdasya balya kaumaram, simply playing and enjoying. You're sent to school at 5 years old or 6 years, and then another 15 years through school and colleges. So that means 5 plus 20, so 25 years almost gone out of this, if you live up to 100 years. But you don't live up to 100 years. You go way before that, you say goodbye, go. So major part of life you have given for this so-called education, which is only to help you a job and an income in life. Yeah. So, if it is like that, for self-realization, normally they will say, at least 12 years you should spend in very strong sadhana, intense sadhana, one should spend for that, at least 12 years, to feel some benefit from that. Yeah. If you do it 12 years intensely and or rigidly, you will get some experiences from that. Spiritual experiences will come from that. Yeah. You won't get total self-realization, but some spiritual experiences, if you do this sadhana 12 years intensely, you will get it. Right? So, at least you will get convinced that there is a thing called self-realization and it is possible. That kind of conviction, you will get it after 12 years of intense sadhana. This is all in the Gurukulam side. Gurukulam education is like that. First 12 years, they put you through this intense process so that he won't become a materialist again. He won't go back looking for a job and work in a factory or work in a business or industry and develop the same type of desires what other people have got. He won't fall into that. If he had 12 years good sadhana in the Gurukulam or in a... So that is what they say. Who? The Gurukulam teachers. They are saying that minimum 12 years you should spend with good sadhana and very solid spiritual practices if you do that. Yeah. So, at that time you will realize, if you had it for 12 years, that this is not a waste of time. You will get convinced, right? Because without endeavoring, you can't make anything in material life. What to talk about spiritual life? Just like in material life, you require so much endeavor. Equally, endeavor is required in the spiritual field as well. And that is why Prahlada said that. Kaumara ajare prajna dharmam bhagavadaniha bhagavad dharmam. You should start early. Durlabham manusham janmam tadapyam dhruvam arthadam. He started like that, isn't it? When he was talking to his friends, the first words in the Prahlada's advice to his friends began like that. Kaumara ajarayat prajna dharmam bhagavadaniha durlabham manusham janmam tadapya dhruvam arthadam. Right? Because children's mind is not polluted with sense enjoyment at that age. When they are 5, 6 years old, their mind is not polluted. When they grow up, it gets polluted. Then vishaya vasana, vasana starts working. The subtle body, the karana shariram, takes time to open up in us. Yeah. When we are born, you sleep 15, 20 years. It's not 15, 20 hours you are sleeping. Why do you sleep? Because it is during that sleep that all your vasanas from karana shariram gets transferred into sushma shariram. That's what happens at that time. That is why you are sleeping so much. Transfer of the files from karana shariram to sushma shariram happens. After that, all the vasanas that you have to go through in this life is all in your sushma shariram. Those vasanas which have become matured, which is going to be utilized in this life, they will all come into sushma shariram in the first during the early years of life. That is why that baby is sleeping so much. We say something. What do you say about them when the children are sleeping? Like, oh, he's sleeping very well, and we are happy because he's not causing any problem. He's sleeping heavily, but we don't know. That is what Krishna is saying to us. You think you understand this body? He says, you don't understand anything about this body. Whether you're a medicine or doctors or scientists or whoever it is, you really don't understand this body. What all happens? What made this body, first of all, you don't know. Who are all involved in this body, making this body, you don't know. What caused this body? Because every body is different, isn't it? So somebody, some power is working behind this. Individual bodies have to be designed and built. And there are individual factors behind each body taking that particular form and particular species. All this is, all Krishna is saying, is unknown to you. And that is why it is so difficult to say anything about this body. What will happen with this body? Why things happen? Little bit things we know, like give some medicines and give some cure, something. But the doctors also don't have that strong conviction that everything what they are doing will come out perfect. Because they also know the body is like that. Yeah. So that is why he's saying here that when you are a child, vasanas have not come. Because the files are getting transferred. It has not started working yet. All the files from the karana shariram to the sushma shariram. Right. So at that time, before the files get transferred, it is easier to change the mind of a person. Once it is transferred, then it is in the subtle body. And then mind will not easily, mind is not easy to change the nature of the mind. Mind cannot be changed. It has already come in. The vasanas have all come in, and in the subtle body. And therefore, the mind, you cannot twist it, whichever way you want it. Whereas when they are at 5-year-old, 6-year-old, if you start at that time, the mind can be properly manipulated, whichever way you want it. Whichever way you want to change it, you can change it at that age. Yeah. So therefore, that is the time one should engage in spiritual life, more than anything else, right? So, if you get this bhakti and a taste for spiritual life in that child's mind at that age, then it will not go from him. It will stay there, right? And then if when he grows up, when he comes to his youthful age, he may run after sense objects because of the youth and because of the vasanas inside. But that bhakti's culture, bhakti samskaram, what he has got, that will turn him into, ultimately it will bring him back to spiritual life again. He will get very quickly fed up with material life because of this culture which is inside. That is the benefit of giving spiritual life to children at the early age. If you have succeeded in creating some bhakti samskaram inside, that child, even after he grows up, and even if he runs after sense enjoyment for some time, this bhakti samskaram inside will force him to leave that and to come back, right? That samskaram will never leave him. So, therefore, he is saying, from the childhood itself, one should perform the sadhana. It is at that time, sadhana should be there, and you should try to acquire bhakti at that time in life. Mahatma say like this, right? So, as Krishna is saying here, drishya vishayam, the world outside, its nature, we should learn from observing them, and one should also, these are all principles he is saying, what you are experiencing in the dream state is the same as what you are experiencing in the waking state, and similar, both are temporary, and from neither of them you will get permanent happiness. And so, and if by chance, if your mind got attached to any of these things, you will suffer intense pain later from that, right? So, and ultimately, everything, your waking state and your dream state, with this situation, will lead into tremendous distress at the end of life. And this is the situation with everything in this world. Krishna is saying, you see that word? సుప్తస్య విషయాన్ లోకో సుప్తస్య విషయాన్ లోకో ధ్యాయతో వా మనోరథ నన్నాత్మతత్వాద్విల తథాభేదాత్మదీర్గుణే. సో దిస్ రియలైజేషన్ కృష్ణ సేస్ one should think oneself again and again and again what he has spoken and convince yourself with this. That means you have to accept what Krishna is saying. If you are not accepted, you can't go further. He is saying like that. So this, when Krishna speaks something, Krishna's authority, you can't go and keep questioning that. Then there is, you are not getting anywhere. If this conclusions, what Krishna has spoken, if it is good for Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if they all can accept this, what Krishna is saying, what we have a problem then? That means there is something wrong with us, not with Krishna's teachings, is it? Krishna is saying this is the reality. And all the great acharyas, great devotees, great jnanis, great yogis, they are all accepting it. They don't have a problem. But we have a problem. We are saying, oh, how can this work? So if you start asking that question, there is no end to it. So first thing is accepting this. What Krishna is saying, you have to accept that. And if you are not able to accept it, think about it again and again, Krishna is saying, and get it accepted inside. And then we can talk further. That is Krishna's way of saying things. Yeah, we'll continue that next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.